say to turn on your radio.
Something fresh and exciting. Somebody with a sock personality that'll sweep people right off their feet.
Where is he? What is he up to? What other terrors can he unleash at will?
Starring your genial host, renowned writer, art collector, and teller of strange tales.
What fiendish power did he possess? Where did he come from? Who is this man?
Believe me.
It's the Shannon Burke Show on the Florida Man Radio Network for Thursday. Talk radio the way our founders intended, if you know what I mean. America, boy, oh boy, is Bidenomics working? Tell that to the woman that paid $7 for an apple at a Whole Foods, day 1189. For an apple. I know it's Whole Foods and all. He put the Eric in America. Say hello to EZ.
What's up?
Good afternoon. Putting the heat in Heather.
Hey, guys.
Double H is here. We'll hear from her in the next hour. Heather has answers. Dark History, top of the third. And Kimmer and Pete, top of the final hour. Your remarks in between. $7 for an apple.
I mean, it was a big apple.
Okay, but, I mean, my God. it's for the love of Pete, I mean, it's an apple. I mean, it's Whole Foods. I get that, and you're getting an apple that's, you know, not waxed and used paraffin, whatever that stuff is. Do you know, in one morning in Boston, the ICE Boston squad arrested four illegal alien child rapists. Four in one morning. If you can arrest four illegal alien child rapists in one morning, how many aren't caught? I mean, think about that. Illegals have been arrested for child rape, raping mentally handicapped girls. And local courts let them go. I don't know. Where in America? I guess you can. I guess in Boston or in New York City, these, you know, these bail reform places that you can literally be accused of raping a child and go home without paying any bail or anything else. Not spend a night in jail. I think maybe importing a bunch of pedophiles into America may not have been a good idea. ICE Boston said a Brazilian illegal alien apprehended by the Border Patrol in Arizona in 2021, then released into the U.S., later arrested in Massachusetts for child rape in December of 2023. Milford District Court ignored their detainer request, released him into the community without notice in late January. It's not a one-off either. The court released the next illegal, even though he was accused of 10 counts of aggravated child rape. I mean, do the math. There are at least, they say, 300 American cities right now with an excess of 100,000 illegal asylum seekers, whatever you want to call them, living there. And this is the way they're processing them. And I know that some people have said, well, they're probably processing them that because they're DAs are also racist. They don't care that these illegals are raping their own kind or other kids in the, you know, and that's just hogwash, basically.
No, it is hogwash because ICE has had to fight to go in and even get these guys out of there.
And they're another sanctuary city. They ignore a detainer request because we don't allow ICE to arrest illegals, even if they've raped children. It's just really disturbing. And listen, they're not too happy, these illegal aliens down in New York City. Here, with an interpreter, of course. These are some, I believe they're from Senegal. Illegal aliens, asylum seekers, I'm sorry. They're using an interpreter, and they're here to lodge some complaints.
But at the shelter, the food, my kids cannot eat the food at the shelter.
They don't like the food.
I mean, is there any reason your kids can't eat the food, you know, when you're claiming asylum for a country that you didn't have food is why you're claiming asylum?
And on Ramadan time, we couldn't eat because when you come back for on the breaks, the food is no good at all.
So in Ramadan, you don't eat. But after Ramadan, you eat. But they can't eat after Ramadan because the food is no good at all.
And
they give us 2 months to stay at the shelter, and then you have to go out again with your luggages and the kids and find another place. It's very difficult.
2 months at the shelter. Then you got to pack your luggage and go out with it and the children and find another place to live, and it's difficult.
And also, I have a kid that is like 18 to 19. Until now, he doesn't have no school.
Well, we can't do anything about that. He's 18 or 19. He's never been to school. You're going to be stuck with a dumbass.
Yeah.
But what happens around the world? I mean, are we the only country where you must go out and work, perform something, sell something, perform a service or whatever to create some income for yourself so that you can have food that you like and you can have, you don't have to move every 2 months and your dumb kid can get an education. And to imagine that, to go somewhere, immigrate, try to get asylum, whatever, to escape the asshole you were in. I mean, what were the plans? Are we supposed to be eternally caring for these people?
Yes.
Forever.
That's what they think. They think, well, they're under the belief, and I think that's a lot of that is word that people have sent back to them, that you got to get to America. Because you figure out a way to get to America, you know, they're going to put you up in a place, they're going to feed you, they're going to do all this stuff. And all these people are like, okay, cool.
We're not your aunt in another country, you know? And I'm sorry, Mbabwe, whatever the hell your name is, you're going to have to learn to like the food. I guarantee, I don't know what the, who knows what's the diet of the Senegalese people.
Yeah, be happy you have food.
So for 2 months, they've been, had a roof over their head and free food, and they're unhappy about the whole thing. There's no list of demands. It just sounds like nothing but complaining. Even on Ramadan, we could not eat during breaks because the food is not good at all. I don't know. Did you talk to the manager?
Mm-hmm. I'm sure if you're hungry enough, too, you can find something to eat.
Absolutely. That's how you get your dog off of canned food or mixing stuff. You just leave that dry food, the kibble in there. After a while, he's going to eat it. I'm not calling this person a dog. Like, directly. This is from MSNBC, of course, and it's one of the most ridiculous. This guy, Jahan Jones, went out and found a racial disparity in the dumbest of places and made a fool of himself. As Major League Baseball celebrates Jackie Robinson and his pioneering contributions to the game, he writes, "I can't help but think about the fact that the league is reporting a historically low number of black people in its ranks." Of course, he goes on to say, you know, this is a teachable moment. At a time when diversity efforts across various arenas have come under attack, Major League Baseball, unfortunately, is a prime example of what it looks like to talk the talk without always walking the walk.
Is there, can he point out anywhere that black kids are being kept out of playing baseball? Because that's where if you're talking about there needs to be diversity, equity, inclusion, is there somewhere along the chain where they're telling black kids you can't play baseball? Or is it because they play football, or they play basketball, or they play soccer, or they play other sports in droves?
They say right now somewhere between 6 and 7% of black American players, the Dominican Republic brothers, don't count in this deal.
Which is hilarious because you look right now, some of the most popular players and best players in baseball right now are minorities. They're Japanese. They're Dominican.
But the to me, the elephant in the room is, here's my problem. 70% of the NFL players are black. 70% of the NBA players are black. And you know what? No, we're all cool with it. Everyone is cool with it. Are white guys unhappy that we're not rep? No, we love our team. No one gives a rat's ass that the two of the three, I would say, major, you know, professional sports in America are completely and utterly dominated by black players. Hallelujah.
To the point, it's actually hilarious that there's a white cornerback in this year's draft from Iowa, Cooper DeGene.
Yeah, that weird you see.
And everybody freaking out. They're like, oh my God, I think he's going to be one of the first drafted in the first round in like 20 years. It's a white guy. Yeah. I think it was since Jason Sehorn was the last one.
Jason Sehorn. I mean, really, is anyone out there cooing? Where are the liberal white people? Like the liberal women that are white and they self-hating whites demanding DEI on the Lakers. Let's have some DEI, you know, on the Philadelphia Eagles, for example. Let's even these numbers out. There is no equity there. And there must be, you know, there must be at least a requirement if we're so down in the dumps about the MLB only having 6 or 7% black players. They suggest this is the MLB's problem. They need to get out and, you know, do some baseball things for kids and get leagues going and fund leagues and, you know, get kids playing baseball. I like baseball. Don't get me wrong. I love to watch it. At the stadium is the funnest place to watch it. At the ballpark, excuse me. Just, you know, I don't know. Is it wrong to say that maybe black people don't like to play baseball? Are you being culturally insensitive or racist to say that maybe black guys don't like? How simple is that? Where are the black players in hockey? Hello, maybe they don't like to skate. Where are all the professional black swimmers or, you know, gold medal black swimmers? I don't have to spell that one out for you.
It's such a weird thing when they write an article. Again, is there anything that's deterring them? Is there any point where, you can't tell, because they just don't have the support systems around them, blah, blah, blah. When you go, okay, but there's kids in the Dominican Republic that have gotten to Major League Baseball learning with a long stick and a ball that they made, and they got to the Major League Baseball. So if they really wanted to do it, they could.
They say that it looks bad on the MLB right now because, you know, they like to look outwardly and celebrate diversity with Jackie Robinson Day, which was yesterday. But they thumb their nose at it in practice. At a time when diversity programs have come under fire from right-wingers, Major League Baseball's failure serves as a cautionary tale of what we stand to lose. Dude, take your kid to a baseball game. It's probably the most affordable professional sporting event you can go to out there, isn't it? You think? Well, you probably get a soccer. I see our soccer team games are going for $17 a pop. That's like pretty good.
Maybe a minor league team is pretty affordable to go to.
Look, I'm not going to try to put my finger on why black kids don't like to get into playing baseball. You know, I think most are influenced by pop culture. You know, baseball is.
I mean, what's the viewership numbers? There's things that they always come out and just scream. Oh, there's. I went out to look and I counted. I went 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and I don't see enough black guys out there. So there must be something wrong. Why don't you look a little deeper? Is there something that's stopping them from playing? Is there a viewership? Like, if you look at the viewership and you go, okay, black viewership only makes up 3% of it, then why would you think that a bunch of people are going to immediately want to go play baseball?
This guy, he says, take education, for example. States that once had affirmative action policies designed to promote racial diversity, like California and Michigan, saw a decrease in the number of black students after race-conscious admissions were banned. I don't know about that. It's a reminder and a warning. In the absence of motivation, diversity measures almost always fall by the wayside. And whether on the baseball diamond or in the classroom, it's often black participants or potential participants who suffer. You know, here's the weird thing. Is... You don't have to encourage or move or adjust any, you know, no one's concerned about motivating their kid by race to play a sport. You know what I mean? Like, oh, well, he's black. We got to get him on the football field or on the basketball court because, you know, baseball's a white guy sport. Who wants to play that? You know, maybe it's the way MLB carries itself and its image and how it markets itself. It's not really hip.
No, and it's also a sport that isn't instant gratification if you want a paycheck.
True. You're right.
I mean, it's still, but there are some guys that come out of the minors real quick, and then there's some guys that spend their first 6 years in minor leagues before they ever see a major league team.
And can we just say that I see Joe Biden thinks that Caitlin Clark needs to be, quote, paid her fair share. Her fair share? What of what? She is getting the fair share of that.
Actually, she's getting more than her fair share of their actual profits they make.
Russell Wilson tweeted, these ladies deserve so much more. Okay, without getting too far, he's going to make sure he virtue signals and agrees with everybody. I don't know how simpler you can make it that the sport WNBA doesn't make much money.
It doesn't make any money. It's never turned a profit.
And you can't expect it. I mean, where are they? They expect the NBA, which already subsidized almost all of its expenses. Are they just supposed to suck some money out of that league that men are playing in, attracting to, and pay these women? I mean, she's going to get $375,000. Turns out to $76,000 a year or something like that.
Yeah, and she just signed an 8-figure deal with Nike for a new pair of shoes too.
She got a Nike deal. They say 7 or 8 figures, and she is worth $3.4 million in NIL money. Oh, poor girl.
To anybody that complained about that when they saw those numbers, there's many things you can do. Go buy WNBA season tickets. Go buy the WNBA pass. Watch some games on TV. But when you continually have arenas that are quarter filled because nobody's going to them, and then you complain that these girls aren't getting paid enough, that you're the one. These things are fan driven. If no fans were going to watch the NFL, the contracts wouldn't be that high.
It's just like this. If you had a restaurant and no one came to it, you couldn't pay people exorbitant amounts of money to work in it. If you had, you know, 5 tables a day a night in your restaurant and that was it, you're not going to be able to pay the guy $100,000 a year to be the maitre d' or whatever. It's a business. It's not a that what it does is turns the WNBA to a charity. Oh, these poor girls. Well, they really can't attract a crowd because, well, they're kind of boring. You know, no one really likes to watch them play. So we consider that a disability in basketball land, and we're not going to pay them.
Yeah, we should give them the same that LeBron gets.
Oh, it was most. Yeah, most definitely. Win and return. This wasn't a good idea.
Genocide.
I'll tell you where those chuckleheads are today. Hang on, it's the Shannon Burke Show. We're awaiting our guest, Adam Gomez from the Men's Clinic. If you got a question about, you've heard him on the air, Boner Clinic, you know. What was it called? The
Erection Clinic.
Erection Clinic. Hard, you know, you got to say it. I mean, I think most people know what it means. Cold Blue Steel Clinic. Anyway, to answer, if you had a question you want to ask Mr. Gomez, give us a ring at 321-339-1055. It's just and you know, you don't have to identify yourself. So people go, hey, Larry, I heard you called Shannon Burke Show. You got a ED or something. Huh? yeah, Caitlin Clark should, she's going to do just fine in endorsements. And I don't know a better way to grow the WNBA than go participate. Go see the game. Go watch games. Watch them on TV. You know, it's a tough act to follow.
Yeah, she's not going to make as much salary-wise right now. But if you go watch her, you go watch the other girls play, then you will give them enough money to give bigger salaries.
Do you think men have a problem watching women compete in a sport that they've only seen men play in, mostly?
I mean, I think there are some guys.
Let's face it, none of us are going to get to see a women's football team unless it's that lingerie football league. Remember that league?
Yeah.
Was it last about a year?
No, I think there are still some of them out there.
Really?
Yeah.
That's like a strip club at a stadium,
basically.
Really. Come on. They're outraged at her disparity. Hoda Kotb said on the Today Show, for someone who is now the face of women's basketball, it seemed kind of ridiculous and disturbing, like picking at an old scab for many women. I mean, men and women that work in jobs alongside the opposite sex, like broadcasting, of course, their pay is going to be more similar because they're doing the same thing to the same audience. It's not the, you know, you can't compare the two.
Yeah, I feel a little bad for Caitlin on this one because she's weirdly, because she has become such a pop culture icon right now that everybody's seeing things that have been there for years. This isn't the first year of that pay scale.
Yeah.
The girl that was the number one pick last year, her pay scale was the same and you guys didn't complain.
Yeah.
Or the year before that.
She's not even going to care about this paycheck.
No.
Everything else is going to come, you know, in other forums. The protesters at Google, I don't know why. Do you think they stood up and interrupted and then they actually went in and occupied an area of the office of the top executive in California? They took over the office spaces, defaced property, physically impeded the work of other Googlers. Their behavior was unacceptable, extremely disruptive, and made coworkers feel threatened. Do you think they knew they were going to get fired? Do you think they'd be guaranteed a job?
I mean, hopefully I thought they would figure out that they were going to be fired. They knew they were coming in there to, you know, protest and yell at their bosses. You don't usually keep your job, but who knows?
Well,
they're kind of idiots, so.
I think they thought that they were going to be able to protest all they wanted to and be guaranteed a job, like they had some kind of freedom of speech at work. Our guest is here, Adam Gomez.
Yes, sir.
How are you? Lean on that mic.
How you doing?
From Men's Clinic. What's happening, man?
Oh, nothing much. Appreciate you having me out on the show.
Glad to have you here. Tell us basically what everyone kind of knows what the Men's Clinic is about, right? I mean, I'm just going to go out on a limb here. You help guys with ED and other things, pyrones, and
yes, sir. Absolutely.
Do you do enlargements?
Yes, sir. So,
you know, how you do that, like weights and tape? Is that how they do it these days? Because I heard That's an old school way to do
That's
it.
That's a little old school. So we're
work for my little brother.
So we're a state-of-the-art facility specializing in androgen medicine, which is men's health.
Okay. Androgen medicine?
Yes, sir. And so we work on erectile dysfunction, enhancement, penile enhancements.
Enhance? What do you mean enhancements? Like blush, shading in there on the areas to make it seem larger?
No, we actually do enlargements.
Like a surgical thing?
No, we do non-invasive procedures such as dermal fillers or... in some cases, fat transfers and stuff like that.
Okay. All right. Do you do that? There's a thing I see. It's always, you've probably seen it in your feed if you're on social media on X at least. It's a device. It looks just bizarre. It's black plastic. And it's got a hole that you know you put your penis through. Then it goes this way, pushes back that way under your taint. And I don't know what it does. Zaps it with electricity. Does it sound familiar?
So you're probably talking more like the Bathmate penile pumps, right? Is that what you're thinking of, or
no?
Because I actually had heard that you were talking about that the other day.
Why'd you bring a medium? Bubba the Love Sponge is an absolute. He loves our morning guy, and he's works with a doctor there on the air with him a few days a week. Dr. Dan Diaco, and is a plastic surgeon, and he swears by these.
Yeah, it's it is advised to use it under medical advisement as well.
What just mean? Because like I get you on a FaceTime call, like, all right, here we go, doc.
So what if people tend to overuse the pumps and stuff, they can
hurt themselves.
Can injure themselves. Yes, sir.
This says put water in it.
Yes, sir. It's a hydro pump. Use it in the shower and.
Uh huh.
But in regards to the question you had earlier regarding some of the fillers we use, like a dermal filler that can last anywhere from a year to 5 years, depending on the filler.
And you go back for a redo every touch 5 years up. Or so.
Yes, sir.
A touch up.
A redo, touch up, depending on how much. Is used.
Most guys will just this type of ED treatment has become so commonplace. You know, you get a guy on a Facebook page, you call him up and you answer a couple of questions. Why is it better to see a doctor if you're talking about medications and oral treatments and things like that?
So, unlike Viagra and Cialis that work on your entire body. We're specifically honing in on the penile health. So we have treatments available that will enhance the penile health. Our main job is just to help restore the blood flow into the penis.
Right.
And the more blood flow you have, the better.
Do that sonic treatment?
We have shock wave treatments as well. Yes, sir. We have three machines. We have a men's wave, a Gaines wave, and then a Z wave treatment as well.
I'm weird about, most guys are probably weird about someone handling their junk in the machine.
Well, we're very professional. We are ran by a double board certified physician, and we treat all our patients with the utmost dignity and respect, as opposed to going to some other spa clinic that's only has a nurse practitioner or a PA.
Right.
You're actually being taken care of by a doctor.
Yeah. All right. What else? What's the number one reason guys come to see you for?
The main reason most of our patients come is obviously for erectile dysfunction. Since COVID happened, approximately 90% of men have either hair loss and erectile dysfunction.
Yikes.
So we.
Do you think it's from the virus or the vaccine?
I don't know. There's not enough study to going on that, but
I certainly just for the record haven't suffered any since then. So. But I didn't take the vaccine, so I wouldn't know.
I did too, and then I was like, nope, stop.
What's the age group? Because I hear that lots of younger guys are having issues, like younger and younger. What's the age range? You got like 20 year olds coming in there going, hey, I've got a problem.
So most of our...
A bunch of old dudes like me, like, man, I can slam it in the car door. I just need some pills. Help me out here.
Sure. The median age group that we're typically seeing is in the 30s and 40s. But we also have our younger on one end of the spectrum, the young clientels that are looking for enhancement purposes. And then on the other end, the spectrum, you know, the more...
No seniors like myself?
More seniors.
Yeah.
More seasoned.
Do you have a special
patients.
Cosmetic treatment for older, you know... Do you do testicles as well or just penises?
So we mainly work just on penile health.
Okay. How about testosterone and hormonal treatments and stuff?
Yes, sir. Absolutely. Okay. We do that too. There's five reasons for erectile dysfunction. It could be blood flow issues. It could be neurological issues. Like, let's say you have a sciatic injury that's compressing a nerve into the sacral plexus.
That can do that?
It could do
or
that.
Or your sciatica hurts so bad you don't feel like getting an erection. You're like...
Well, it could be that
like you
the nerve
anyway.
Is just damaged, you know. It could be a psychological, it could be hormonal. So at the erection clinic or the men's clinic, we actually help patients with the blood flow issues and with the hormonal issues.
What should the average guy eat and do in order to maintain the best, you know, penis health? I'll use the medical term here. I mean, normal stuff that I, then tell me what we should be avoiding, you know?
Sure. So just
naturally
like,
everyday stuff.
Absolutely. And just like your primary care provider, you know, we want to follow up with you every so often, every 3 months or so. And we're just a small part of the pie. So, you know, if your primary doctor's putting you on a diabetic diet because you're diabetic, we would advise that you adhere to their protocols or whatever
right.
recommendations they're following. And, you know, we're just taking care of you from the androgen or the men's health side of the point.
Food-wise, I'm going to tweet this out. Do you guys have a Twitter account? Men's Clinic?
Yes, sir. We also have the Snapchat, Instagram. We actually added you the other day on Instagram.
Yeah? Oh, I don't do much on Instagram. You want to follow me on X, that's where the action is.
And we're on President Trump's pages as well.
Oh, yeah? Did you send one of these hider masks to him?
No.
I love that they sent me a medium. It's way too small. I had sent me an extra large. It's on the way.
What is your, do you know your Twitter, your X handle?
Let me pull that up for you, sir. Give me one second.
Okay, just keep talking about what I should be eating and what I shouldn't be eating. General foods. I eat a lot of, I'm kind of a carnivore.
So, you know, more lean meats, more grains and fruits and vegetables into your diet, just like your primary care provider would recommend.
I just saw my doctor today. He said, he didn't tell me what to eat today, but the last time he said, you need to eat some like Mediterranean. I'm like, all right, I'll get some olives at the store today.
Yeah. So just like your primary care provider's specifying, you know, we don't want to deviate from their course of action. We're, you know, working in line with them and, you know, for example, like in hormone replacement therapy, we'll get initial lab work from you just so we can have a baseline.
Okay. Right.
And then we're doing in that panel, that initial panel, we're looking for lipids. We're checking your vitamin D, your complete blood count.
That's what I'm there about. My vitamin D, you know?
Yeah,
you know what I'm
complete saying? CBC, CMP, all the good work. And then, you know, if there is some deviance in the findings that we, in the lab work, then we'll refer you back to your primary care doctor so they can manage that.
Okay. Is there supplements the average guy ought to be taking in order to maintain his, you know, what do you call it? Something or other health?
Androgen health.
Androgen health.
Men's health. Just multivitamins, you know, try not to overdo. Like everything is in moderation, of course. Don't overdo anything. You know, multivitamins is good. The GNC supplements is good too.
All right.
Just so you can maintain those levels. And it's, you know, really important. A lot of people, us guys especially, we tend to be like, oh, we're not going to the doctor. We could be embarrassed. You know, we don't want to talk about our erectile problems and stuff. And
right.
So
but then eventually you got to have some guy's finger in your, you know.
Well, that's
once a year, at least.
We defer the prostate to the urologist.
Yeah.
So You know, it's just really important for, like, we like taking care of the patient, not just the disease.
Should a guy go see a men's health specialist regularly? You know, yes, sir. Okay.
Absolutely.
So if somebody comes in there for some type of treatment, let's say, what's the one with the shock waves?
So that would be like a Z-wave treatment.
How does he go in there at one time and then magically walks out with a vein laden erection, or does it take a little time?
No, sir. Anything like everything else in medicine is a process. So you actually, you know, it's recommended that you get at least 4 to 5 treatments, like a Z-wave treatment, so you can see some results, because the Z-wave is actually causing microtrauma to the penis. And
I don't like to have microtrauma on my penis.
So it's the same technology that a urologist uses for
I don't want any trauma on my
for like kidney stones and stuff. They'll use a high frequency.
I've had that done.
Pulses. We use a low frequency.
Oh, I hope so. Oof. and so it's a machine you sit on or something?
No, you sit on a regular clinical chair, and then we'll take care of you and. The session's about a 15-minute session.
Oh, okay. What are the other ones? You said there's another one you do.
So we actually have a treatment called the trifecta. It's 3 medications in one. It's got Botox. It's got power PRP and other growth factors such as exosome stem cells.
Botox?
Yes, sir.
It seems is the other direction from an erection. You know what I mean? Paralyze the muscles?
So it relaxes the smooth muscles of the blood vessels.
Okay, so this is an oral treatment?
No, it's an injection.
Okay.
So let's say you wanted to come down to the clinic and have a treatment done. We would mix the 3 medications together. And it's
IV drip?
No, sir. It's 5 injections into the penis. You're numbed up for about 45 minutes. But it's tiny needles.
Oh, okay.
Now, say, what's the gauge on those needles that are working over there?
Not the same ones you're using to vary testosterone, are you?
No, it's a very tiny needle.
That's for the most severe of cases, I would imagine.
Any patient can have a trifecta. It works wonders for anybody. Even if you're in good penile health and you want better penile health, come get a trifecta, because you're going to increase that blood flow. What the Botox does, it actually relaxes the smooth muscles, like I was saying.
So you're not just randomly here, over here, over here. You're like a certain area. No, sir.
It's anatomically correct positioning in the meatus.
It's not like when a guy gives you Botox in your head, the ladies, they just like shoot all over the place up there, right?
No, we're very specific in where we inject.
Uh-huh. What about the scrotum? You're staying away from that area?
So with the Z-wave treatment, you're actually getting right underneath this one of the...
The taint is, I think, the scientific term.
The taint is what it's called.
what is
the perineum is called the medical terms. So you're hitting all areas of the penis and then the perineum as well.
What works to cause the blood flow issue? Well, riding a bicycle? My doctor tells me I'm riding a motorcycle all the time, and sitting down is not good for my prostate.
So unfortunately, you know, like if we have hypercholesterol, you know, if we have high cholesterol or high blood pressure, that's going to affect your blood, your veins into the penile region as well, because you could have some occlusions. You, like in Peyronie's disease, you could have any scar tissues. So that our treatments work really well to help break down some of that scar tissue and some of those occlusions, just so that we can get more blood flowing into the penis, causing more better erections, making erections great again.
I like that one. Is it Men's with a Z?
M-E-N-Z clinic? Or the Erection Clinic.
Mensclinic.com or the ErectionClinic.com?
ErectionClinic.com, yes.
Erection, just Erection Clinic.
Yes, sir.
Is there a number, or just should they just go?
Erection Clinic is 407-974-6855.
People visit the office, obviously.
Yes, sir.
I mean, it's a nice low-key kind of.
Yes, sir.
I'm imagining a candy bowl dish on the table with like Viagra in it, maybe some, you know, some, you know, just kind of get a handful for the road.
So we're an aesthetically pleasing clinic. you walk in and it makes you feel at home.
What do you keep the temperature in? Because I understand that has a lot to do with shrinkage. You know what I'm saying? In different rooms, different temperatures?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Typically between 68 to 72 degrees.
Is that the best temperature for the penis to perform in?
Everything's...
I want to make sure I get home and get the thermostat right, you know, before everything's...
Sure, your electric bill might suffer.
Yeah. I want to go back to this trifecta thing. So once you do these five shots, are we talking... Is it instantly noticeable change, or are we talking a couple days before?
And I'm glad you asked that. So the Botox, it acts three ways: short-term, mid-term, and long-term acting. The Botox within the first week to 2 weeks, you'll start seeing a better erection because the smooth muscles relaxing, getting more blood flow into the penis. Around week 8 to 12, you're going to start seeing... you won't see it, but it's called angiogenesis. That's where your power PRP and your other growth factors are kicking in and causing more blood flow, more blood vessels being created.
You're talking like week 12, it's looking good.
You're getting results.
Yeah.
And we've had a 95% success rate. But again, it's not a once and done procedure. A lot of patients come and say, hey, I only had one treatment and I don't see any results. Well, I mean, we want you to follow up with us just like, you know, your primary doctor.
Around week 12.
Yeah, that's the person, though, that...
Something starts to happen. You feel better and better. You're working that Baphomet Hydromax 30X.
So that in combination with,
maybe a raw egg. You know how you drink those raw eggs right out of the bowl? Just slam it right down. Honey, hold on. I'm having breakfast.
All that protein kicking in.
Lifting small weights with it. Yeah.
So it's very easy to make an appointment. I would imagine just call 407-974-6855. But check out all of the services at mensclinic.com and erectionclinic.com. And I suppose your websites are pretty in depth.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. We also offer Botox and facial procedures for men as well. So we do Botox and PRP fillers and...
PRP fillers?
I mean...
Oh, like wrinkle fillers?
Fillers and stuff.
I'm not that vain yet, but maybe the day will come.
We do PRP facials.
What is that?
So it's just taking blood out and mixing it and then doing like a microneedling toward your face and getting a deep cleansing into the... So we're an all-around great facility for both men and women.
Physically located?
7300 Sand Lake Commons Boulevard.
Oh, yeah.
Right next to Dr. Phillips Hospital.
Right. Excellent. Mr. Gomez, thank you very much.
I appreciate you guys.
Mensclinic.com and erectionclinic.com, 407-974-6855. When we return, an update on Trump's sham trial. I got audio from a couple of jurors that have dropped out or been eliminated, and it's pretty interesting. That is next. I got to read a commercial here. Stick around. It's the Shannon Burke Show.
Oh.
What I was trying to get to about the Google people was, do you think that they marched in there thinking that their jobs were secure no matter what? We were untouchable. They can't do anything about it.
Some of them, yes. Some of them, I think, knew they were going to be martyrs for their cause. But I do think some of them are idiots that think that because they see everybody else not, you know, there's not people not getting arrested for it. Why would they lose their job?
They have their no tech for genocide day of action. They said they let people know, hey, by the way, this S isn't tolerated. Here, any of you other jokers want to, do your little protesting, you'll get exactly the same.
Yeah, you can protest on your own time.
Yeah. Somewhere in a public place. Wow. They fired a couple that did not directly participate in it. Just to help put it together. Stupid. And they want Google to cancel a $1.2 billion contract. That's the funny part to me. Some jurors or potential jurors have been either released or are they left on their own. Here's one report. One was a nurse who said that her once she was picked, everyone was calling her friends and family and trying to tell her to do this, vote this way. She finally said, "Screw it, I can't be non-partial here. I can't." Here's the other report.
That this has to do with something that very well could have been the fact that this juror may have been arrested back in the 1990s conducting some type of political vandalism against something, posters on the right, and it was not revealed, or he did not remember it and did not include it, and that is why that juror has been dismissed.
That's some deep, deep digging on Trump's team. But they found some, maybe he was arrested for vandalizing some political literature or you know, some political, whatever, poster or something. That's a tough one. Oh, here's the one that said she can't commit to being fair and impartial.
One of the jurors called up the court to inform them that she did not know whether she could actually be fair and impartial. She was asked to come to court this morning and went before the defense and went before the district attorney's office and answered questions about how she got to that conclusion. And she said, in part, that she got calls just yesterday alone from, quote, friends, colleagues, and family, quote, questioning my identity as a juror. She continued, "I don't believe I can be fair and unbiased and let the outside influences not affect me in the courtroom." This hits at the heart of the difficulty for these jurors over the course of the next 6 to 8 weeks. These are individuals who, they are anonymous, yet we and the sides have some details about who these individuals are, their neighborhoods, their occupations. It's one.
So that's why they denied them. Now they're no longer asked where they work. It's not one of the questions.
Even though that should be part of the questionnaire. There's like 80 other questions on there. Why where you work is not one of them? Because, I don't know, maybe if you're the person that's working at a office that's a super PAC for a Democratic Party, right, yeah, or a Republican Party, maybe you want to know that type of thing.
Here's the one. It was this: the lady just became an American citizen and was picked to at least be a potential juror on a very famous case.
He just became a citizen of the United States, so that means you've never voted in a presidential election.
Exactly.
You're called to be a juror, and this is the jury that you are called to.
Yes.
What was that? Is unbelievable. That is unbelievable.
I know.
What was your impression of Donald Trump when you saw him?
He looked less orange, definitely, like more yellows.
Less orange, but more yellow.
Yellow? Nothing else than that. He looks, he doesn't look angry, or I think he looks bored. Like, he wants this to finish and go do his stuff. That's how I, yeah.
Did you have any discussions with other jurors when you left the room about kind of how huge this case was?
Yes.
How historic it was going to be?
Yeah, everybody.
What were they saying? What were you guys talking about?
Should you be asking her what she was discussing with the other jurors?
That seems oddly some sort of illegal in a way.
It does seem, because she's not.
But she could kind of disqualify all the other jurors, could she, if she said something stupid?
Yeah.
How about this? It's a historical case, and, this is going to define so many things. But at the same time, our job as a juror, right, is to be impartial, like to be unbiased. So it was weird, like the whole atmosphere, like, such an important case at the same time. Yeah.
Did you talk to anybody that really wanted to serve in that jury?
That anybody that they wanted to
serve? Any of the other jurors that you spoke to, were there people that said, "I want to do this. I want to serve on this jury. I want to be a part"?
Hell yeah, there are people that want to be on this jury. This is a book, at least some, TV appearances, maybe a book.
If you're interested enough, yeah, you can get a book.
Yeah. Well, there is some heavy activity going on at Columbia. Columbia University needs to be closed. They need to shut the doors. They're loading up busloads of students that they're arresting. And now they're openly calling it an anti-Israel protest. It's no longer pro-Palestinian. They don't even say that anymore. It's anti-Israel. Can we put the TV, bring the TV for just a quick second? Because this has been on the news for the last 30 minutes.
Social media to call on community members to come out here and support them to keep the momentum going. And according to some of the organizers, they were planning to stay out here for an additional 24 hours. Obviously, the university had different plans, but we're still watching a very active scene unfold out here on campus. And we're waiting to see what happens with those students who were taken from here, likely to a police precinct, possibly to face charges. Back to you, Martha.
Okay, CB.
Wow, facing charges. That mean old man. They're just, you know, under so much fire right now at Columbia. There's a video out right now with a student that says, "We're all Hamas. Long live Hamas." And they've gone off the cliff.
Yeah, it went from being, stop the genocide to being pro-Hamas.
Yes, to celebrating Hamas. The professor that declared the October 7th attack was awesome. To the one that just said, "Yes, I am with Hamas." That Manoush Shafiq is under some serious fire. And here we are literally taking busloads of kids, students, young adults into custody. I mean, the fact that you would say we're all Hamas, speak for yourself, buddy. And we're with Hamas, that they have.
Yeah, it's weirdly gone away from being the poor Palestinian people that, we got to, it's the women and children.
They're rooting for the terrorists right now.
Yeah, now it's gone to being pro-Hamas.
Talk about escalating a situation, man. I don't know. Is there another step after that?
Probably the next step would them being wearing Nazi stormtrooper uniforms marching through the streets.
You remember, this was a long time ago, when Biden made sure that there's going to be decency in his administration.
We have an obligation, but we also have a great privilege. Very few times does an individual get an opportunity to do something that can fundamentally, positively impact on other people's lives, not only here but around the world. You're engaged in and you're working with the most decent government in the world. And we have to restore the soul of this country, and I'm counting on all of you to be part of that. But I'm not joking when I say this. If you're ever working with me and I hear you treat another colleague with disrespect, talk down to someone, I promise you I will fire you on the spot.
He wants decency. Don't talk down to someone. Well, that is out the window. According to people on the inside at the West Wing, that aides there refer to former President Trump as Hitler pig. Maggie Haberman put a post of a forlorn-looking Trump sitting in court, eyes almost closed, looking defeated and tired. And one of these aides reposted it with added a swastika armband and said, "Hitler pig sleepy." Oh, they reposted it with a pig with a swastika armband.
I mean, but that is the Biden that, I'll fire anybody, but what's all the stories behind this? Oh, he's angry old man. He just yells at everybody. And
right. He uses foul language and says the F word a lot. Hitler pig. Oh, just a bunch of demented people. See the nice homeless built a nice house along an LA freeway, 110, right on the edge of the highway, on the edge of one of those waterways, creek beds.
Honestly, this dude needs to be hired.
This thing's got a garden, a barbecue, and somehow he's heisted some electricity off a nearby lamppost. And it looks sturdy. And so far, no one's really made him move it. No one's making them move. I mean, there's an encampment there with tents and other lean-tos there, but not like this place. This is like a one bedroom.
Where did this guy get all the supplies for that too?
And, yeah, you have to have a hammer, you got to have nails, you got tools, saws, you know. Yeah, we had enough money for that, and you know, it does look like, I'll give him that. The rest of it looks like it's all, you know, you wouldn't build a treehouse out of it. It's like discarded wood from old fences and old, you know, windows and stuff like that. So anyway, so far, no one's doing anything about it. They're just letting it roll. Heather.
Hello.
Are you ready?
I am.
Heather has answers at gmail.com. Any question, any kerfuffle you find yourself in that you think the brain trust here might be able to help you out with.
All right. Dear Heather, I met my wife 16 years ago while she was married. We had a little fling and she confided her marriage was basically over, just staying married for the two kids. Well, push come to shove and her ex did something she couldn't forgive him for, which is an entirely different story, and she divorced him. We got married 6 months later, initially during the fling and after the marriage. The sex was great. She had a hysterectomy and a bladder lift after several years, and since then her libido is gone. Not diminished, gone. She says she has no desire for sex, period. So now we've gone over 3 years without any sexual contact in any way. Frankly, I'm tired of taking things into my own hands, literally, and I've begun to feel resentment and even anger, and I don't want to start over. I don't necessarily want a divorce, but something has to give. I brought up the subject a number of times, and her only reply was that my family has a history of cervical cancer, and you want me to take hormones so you can have sex? Frustrated in Georgia.
I don't know that there's a correlation between... Listen, I'll be quite honest with you. My wife would be fine with me telling the story. She began taking testosterone, the pellet thing, on the advice of her doctor. And for the last year, it has been off the chain.
Is it prescription or like over the counter?
She goes into the doctor. They make a small incision on her buttocks. They put in these little pellets and they close it up. And it slow releases testosterone. I do shots in the leg. They don't do that for women. She had her hormones checked and they were out of whack. And she takes some other pills. But once those were in order, boy, oh boy.
I don't know. That sounds painful. There's got to be a different way to take it.
She hardly notices. It's not painful at all.
Okay. So frustrated in Georgia.
She's got a little bit more of a butt than you do. So maybe that's something to it.
Yeah. Sorry. Complete white girl here.
So, any other suggestions? How old are they?
They're in their mid-50s. She is 6 years his senior. Because I asked that. Followed up.
I mean, he can go and shoot his shot and say, hey, would you mind me, finding another girl on the side?
Whoa, no.
That's
Heather. Whoa. Hold the phone there, buddy.
I mean, they're
now. That's what's going to come to.
Yeah, I mean, they're in a relationship now. You know, they're in a relationship now that is completely sexless. He seems to still have those urges. She doesn't. So that is a big part of a marriage. So at some point, they're going to have to make a decision on, hey, let's throw a polycule together or something like that.
Oh my gosh.
Let's start adding some branches to this.
Is there a correlation between the hormones and cervical cancer?
I believe so. I think like adding estrogen tends to, I believe it's an estrogen based thing. So
yeah.
It might.
Well, let me tell you something. It was the testosterone that kicked it into gear.
Maybe they just need to get creative. He needs to like take her out on a date or like create their own little.
Listen, let me tell you something.
Room.
She needs to take one for the team.
It might be really hard for her when she's got zero drive. I mean,
no, it's not.
Okay.
All you need is some little some KY and your.
Heather wants him to start role playing and.
Yeah, this guy needs some Mugambo. He needs to release. He needs to get laid. I'm sure he'd like to get intimate, but. You know, it just sounds like he
she's having a hard time, and he's trying to be understanding, but he's done being understanding. But he doesn't want a divorce. He just wants to fix her.
She should be as into it as fixing the situation as he is.
Yeah, I wonder if she's got a lot on her plate, like with work and kids and college or wherever.
Yeah, she seems to be fighting hard for this sexless woman.
No, I'm just wondering, like, it. Okay.
Maybe frustrated Lord. Just needs a weekend down at the Villages.
Get your favorite bath poofs.
Just go loofah crazy with everything you can do. Like one of every flavor and just get it out of your system.
Let's go talk to the doctor about you doing other hormones other than estrogen. You don't need that. If you have no, believe it or not, women need a certain amount of testosterone.
That's true.
And if you ain't got it, you ain't got it. And if it's zero,
you got to get it up somehow.
Yippers. That's my advice.
Okay, this next one. Dear Heather, Eric, and Shannon, I'm a 38-year-old woman who's been dating a 40-year-old man for 16 years. I feel so depressed and disposable because he won't marry me. We've been together for 16 years and have two daughters under 10 years old. I wanted to be married before having kids, but he basically said that he thought if he married me first, then I might decide not to have any kids and he'd be stuck never having any. So I was guilted into having them before getting married. I have felt horrible about my situation for years, but last summer, about a month before our 16th anniversary, I started to feel much worse. I'm depressed and I think about it multiple times a day. I feel like a joke, like a disposable piece of trash, like I'm not good enough to be loved completely. I'm a stay-at-home mom, so I depend on him financially, and it's not as simple as moving out. I'm embarrassed and feel worthless. I have one very good friend that I met 4 years ago, and she thinks that we're married, and I've never corrected her. His parents and siblings all refer to me as their daughter or sister-in-law. His mom introduces me to people as his fiance because she knows the term girlfriend doesn't seem serious enough after 16 years. But his younger brother just got engaged, and his dad was sending a group text about how she will be a real member of the family now. I know he probably didn't even think about me, and I was hurt. Both of my unofficial sister-in-laws told me later, separately, they brought it up, that they instantly noticed it and both said something to their dad, and he told them both that they're making a big deal out of nothing. It feels like they're all just assuming I'll always just be there, the forever girlfriend. I've been there watching as both of his sisters and both of my sisters have dated, gotten married, had kids, gotten divorced. I have 9, not really official, nieces and nephews. I'm aunt to them and godmother to a few, but sometimes I still feel like a fake. A few months ago at confession, the priest wouldn't even absolve me of my sins because I couldn't tell him that I wouldn't fornicate again. Older priests always have because staying with him in a fake family was best for our kids. I think that was a mistype of some sort.
Yeah.
This younger priest wouldn't do it, and I was crying hysterically. Now, every time I think about it, I get choked up, and I can't go to communion at Mass. And so now, on top of not feeling good enough, I also feel like I'm going to hell. I love him, but since this depression started this summer, I feel differently about him and all men. And now I think that are incapable of love.
Not true.
For the sake of my daughters, I need to stay with them, but I don't know how to handle feeling this way for 14 more years. I've been trying to tell myself that when I'm 52 and older, I'll have a chance to find someone who will actually love me completely. Honestly, I don't know if I can stop feeling so horrible. I think about it all day long. How do I get over it? How do I improve things? Okay. How could I talk them into it?
How can you make this shorter?
Right. Hot mess, Carmen in Orlando.
Damn, girl. You need to just... lay things. Oftentimes, we don't get whether or not the person writing has confronted the significant other about the issue. But if you tell him, look, I see your brother's getting married, your sister's getting married, they're getting married. Everyone thinks we're married. We're not married. I can't get absolved of my sins in church. We're either going to get married or you're going to have to find another wife.
This used to be personal, but now God's involved.
Yeah, now you got God pissed off at me. And be honest about it. At the end of that rather lengthy letter, she sounded low, like she didn't really want to stay in the marriage or in the relationship even.
Yeah, she feels bad.
Because he hasn't married her?
Yeah.
If he married her, would that make everything all good? The real reason is, why won't he? Maybe he's got a secret wife somewhere.
Oh.
Why wouldn't you marry her at that point?
I don't know.
All the benefits are there.
Some people, that's in their... I don't know if they've had a bad experience with it or whatever. It's
maybe
in their mind.
Of divorce.
My little brother, Sean, he's been in a relationship with this woman for, I don't know, 10, 12 years. They're not married.
I mean, what's his reasoning? Has he told anybody what his reasoning for it is?
They have kids.
He doesn't believe in it. No, they don't have kids. They don't want to have kids.
Yeah, I mean, this family, they have kids. So
he's going to hell. He's an atheist.
There's some good people down there.
I mean, she has to at some point confront him if she's not happy. There's so many people that do not think of their own happiness, and it makes everything worse for everyone else.
She's 38?
I believe so. Yes.
You know what she needs to do is have a conversation with his father and say, what gives with your son? Do you mind if I talk about your son and a matter that might not make you happy? I don't understand why he won't marry me. Maybe you can tell me. Just, you know, I would start complaining about it to asking their family. Do you know why your brother, your kid won't marry me after 16 years? What's the reason? Is it a big family secret I don't know about?
Just address the elephant.
Did he kill his last wife and promise the judge he wouldn't marry another woman?
Can you do that?
I don't think you can.
I think you can if you really work a deal with a prosecutor.
That is a damn good lawyer to get you that plea deal. Your Honor, I will not murder again, and will definitely not get married again.
Your Honor, my client has signed an affidavit claiming he will never kill another wife ever again.
I'm always blown away by these people who will stay in a relationship for so long. Like, when I met my husband, I'm like, I'm done with this messing around dating thing.
How long did you go from dating to
2 year cutoff? I was like, we should know in 2 years, and if we don't, let's just walk away. He proposed at 18
months. Hardcore.
Well, we were both, you know, in our late 20s and tired of the dating scene. And that dating scene's only gotten worse. This man really should just go ahead and marry her.
I don't understand.
The whole online dating and meeting people, like. I see some of my friends that are dating now, and I don't want that. Like,
I had girlfriends that I thought I was going to marry that I'm so happy that I didn't marry now. So, but they've passed that point at that 16 years.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. This sounds like a woman that, he has some sort of commitment issues with getting married. Something is in his mind. I don't know. I didn't say he'd been married before.
If he's 40, he would have been about 26 when they got together.
Yeah, I mean, did he have marriage before that? We don't know that.
Yeah, something's wrong with this dude. You got to make it real. Do his friends know that he's not married?
I believe
so. She should start when people say that, call her his wife, just correct him. No, I'm not his wife. I'm his girlfriend.
He won't buy me the ring.
I mean, she should do that. Start becoming just super annoying about it.
Absolutely. Anyone that refers to her as a spouse or a wife, correct them instantly. I wonder what he calls her.
I don't know.
I think she said he calls her fiance.
Fiance?
Okay, somebody said fiance. I don't think he did. I think it was his mother.
Well.
It's a long letter. I'd have to go back.
That's my advice. Tell the guy to ask her to get off the pot. And tell your kids, too. By the way, your mommy and daddy aren't married.
They probably know.
Yeah, mommy could leave it at any time and head on down with the sauna boy.
I mean, what is he worried about? Like, worried about getting a divorce?
I don't know. Maybe his parents went through something that was so traumatic that he just wants to skip.
Then go. She needs to go ask. Start to go over and talk to Ed and Mona about it. Take some sandwiches over.
Ed and Mona.
Those are their parents' name. I just decided that.
Thank you,
Heather.
Thank you.
Heather has answers at gmail.com. Heather has answers at gmail.com. Whatever your weird problem is, we want to hear it. You could be anonymous, right?
No, we want to know your name, your address.
We're going to send a follow-up questionnaire. Were you happy with the advice you received on the Shannon Burr Show? All right. When we return, it's time for remarks. Bob Menendez, Senator Bob Menendez. What a scumbag. They probably had this set up this way, though. The word on the street is he's going to testify that his wife is the real criminal, and she kept him in the dark the whole time.
Come on, you think they're going to put her in prison?
Hang on, it's the Shannon Burr Show.
That's traffic on Florida Man Radio.
Omar's daughter, Ursa, has been suspended from Barnard College for her involvement in an anti-Israel protest on Columbia University's campus. They must be blowing up because they're wall-to-wall with it. She's an organizer with CU Apartheid Divest at Columbia SJP. In my 3 years at Barnard College, I have never been reprimanded or received any disciplinary warnings. She claimed on her X account, I just received notice. I'm one of three students suspended for standing in solidarity with Palestinians facing genocide. Blah, blah, blah. A couple of the other students found out about it early this morning. And said in the letter, the decision is based on information received from Columbia University Public Safety. You've been involved in an unauthorized encampment on the Columbia University campus. These are those tents that were set up there. And you have not ceased participation in this unauthorized encampment despite repeated requests from Barnard and Columbia. So you're out. Their suspension comes after at least three other people arrested overnight for the same thing. But it got worse today. They say they're going to stand with their people resolute until their demands are made. That includes divestment from companies complicit with genocide.
Every one of them, they think that that's just something you can do.
Yeah.
Like the the chancellor of the university can just lean out the window and say, you guys did it. We've divested from them.
Yay! I mean, what would they even know if they? I mean, would they know if they if they just said they divested? Would they know how to check?
Took them a year to go into the finances of the university to see what they're still investing in.
Well, they're gonna. I mean, is that all they're concerned with? Just if the university divests, they're cool. They'll go back. They'll no more pro-Palestinian, anti-Israel.
It's such a weird thing. Okay, if they stop putting money towards Israel, you're fine. Everything else is okay, cool.
Google has a $1.2 billion contract, and I'm sure that many universities are invested somehow.
Yeah, that's what people do. That's how you put together a big portfolio, is investing in a bunch of things. They're not investing in Israel, just invest in Israel.
There's so many ties to Israel that you'd have to cut. You know, if that was your bag, that was your whole thing, you'd have to, it would be impossible. Anyway, we have some, I think it's weird how it grew and now it's just exploded, and now they're with Hamas. They went from, stop the genocide to now we're with Hamas.
I know.
Why don't you go and sign up with them?
It was all, hey, let's get food in there. Your guys aren't helping them get enough food. You got to stop bombing the hospitals. Okay, we're now with the terrorist side. Yeah, it's cool.
We're down with terrorism now. Bob Menendez, they say, word on the street, faced with bribery trial, they believe... They say he may seek exoneration at his trial in May by blaming his wife, saying that she kept him in the dark about anything that could be illegal about her dealings with this New Jersey businessman. According to passages that were unsealed, several sentences in January court filing by the lawyers for the Democrat were unsealed in federal court. And some news organizations insist that public disclosure was required. Menendez's lawyers had redacted the documents, claiming the sentences revealed a strategy that could bias the jury pool. According to the passages that were unsealed, he plans to testify about what he believes were exculpatory communications with his wife, Nadine, if she decides to take the witness stand. With these explanations and the marital communications on which they rely, we'll tend to exonerate Senator Menendez by demonstrating the absence of any improper intent on the senator's part. They may inculpate Nadine by demonstrating in ways in which she withheld information from Senator Menendez, otherwise led him to believe that nothing unlawful was taking place. No, okay. I'm not saying you or I would never get off on this.
No, but
hell
also,
no.
Have anybody ever looked at Nadine and thought that's a criminal mastermind right there?
She didn't. He didn't say, "Honey, hey, honey, where all these bars of gold come from?" Oh, I can't tell you.
Why do you keep putting them on my desk?
Hey, honey, where'd you get that new Mercedes? You don't want to know.
Yeah, I went to get my long coat, and all the pockets were stuffed with cash. Is there something I need to know?
Oh, just the money I've been saving for a rainy day, sweetheart. It's $400,000.
Also, there's a thank you card from the Egyptian government.
Oh, no, give me that. That's not for you. What do you think? You think he's if he's exonerated by this flimsy BS lie that he remains a senator?
Yes. I mean, Jesus. He hasn't left yet. They haven't even just pushed to get him out of committees.
Well, Denver has gutted their police department and fire department in the largest ever budget cut in order to pay for migrants. The police department is going to lose $8.4 million in order to allocate $89.9 million for housing illegals. Sanctuary City. They're going to cut sheriff's office, $3.8 million. Fire department, $2.4 million. Seems to me police, fire, and sheriff should not go in that direction. As long as this is Denver, you're a growing city. You're going to take it from public programs, services, the rest coming from citywide budgets. After a year of the crisis, they said Denver finally has a sustainable plan for treating our newcomers, with dignity while avoiding the worst cuts to city services. We're going to cut picking up your trash so Manuel can have an apartment.
Mm-hmm. Come to Denver. The cops can't stop you because there's none on the streets.
Come for the legal weed, recreational weed, stay for the crime wave. Let's get to some remarks, shall we? From the Florida Man radio app, powered by Morganic Meats, Mora and Mora's Family Farms. A lot of archives there. Down at the bottom, you can hit the button and give us your opinion. Keep it pithy.
The simple solution for these freeloaders that don't like the food, they can go home. And if the rapists aren't going to be prosecuted, why can't the parents go take care of the rapist? Because they're not going to get prosecuted either, right?
Right.
Over the year.
So as far as this basketball player, if men can play in women's sports, why can't she theoretically try to play for the men's NBA team? And then she'll make some real money. Or is that just not even an option?
No, it's not an option.
I mean, I think she knows her limits. I don't think I've ever heard Caitlin Clark say that she could play with in the NBA.
No. I don't hear her bitching about the pay either.
No, because she's not. I mean, the only people who are complaining about it were everybody else in the world.
Hey, Shando. Your guest from the penis clinic, he wasn't giving you the answer you're looking for. It's beet juice. That's the magic sauce. Beet juice. Drink that and your circulation improves. Beetle.
Beets. Yeah, Bubba endorses Super Beets. Super Beets. I had an experience with beets. I used to have a juicer. Don't get me started. My ex got it in a divorce, and it was a beautiful, big, giant, wearing juicer. I mean, the whole house would dim. The lights would go. And it was brilliant. It was commercial, you know.
You juice a pumpkin in there.
Oh yes, and I got into the kick of juicing about this, $800 juicer, and I'm juicing. I get some beets. Oh, these got to be good. I'm putting garlic. I'm going crazy, man. I'm making like a V8 from scratch, and I drink it. I use like two whole beets, raw, peeled, in this glass. And I chug it down. I'm like, I feel great. And I sat down to work. And literally 10 minutes later, I'm like, I felt something. Like I needed to penguin walk to the bathroom. I mean, it literally went right through me.
Yeah,
right
then through me. The next day or so, you're like, oh, am I bleeding? Am I dying from this internal bleeding?
Honey, come look at this.
Muffins here. Another word for the taint, grundle.
All right.
So first of all, is the dude from the erection clinic still sure he wants the Shannon Burke show to continue to be an endorser after today's visit? And is there a location in the Atlanta, Georgia area? Asking for a friend. Beedoo.
What do you mean? Of course, that was a great interview. We had a lot of fun. We didn't make it boring. So these old kind of interviews can really get boring.
So let's get this straight. They are protesting against Israel. They're supporting Hamas. So therefore, that makes them domestic terrorists providing, I guess you could say, emotional support for a known terrorist organization. Arrest them, try them, convict them, throw them in jail. American terrorists, beedoo.
Yeah, you can't give support, right? I don't know what that means. Violent with protesting with their flag. I mean, this is still going on. Like, it's crazy, dude.
Yeah, well, we'll see how.
They got riot gear out there.
See if it keeps peaceful.
They'll crack some heads out there.
Yeah, well, I'm surprised the pallets of bricks haven't shown up yet that just mysteriously appear every once in a while.
Yeah. Someone's frying something. Thank you.
You were talking about the homeless guy who built a one bedroom, let's say, and connected to the lamppost and such things. And then Easy said, where did he get all of his equipment? I'll tell you, there's this guy, I see him all the time, and he has quite an operation. He pushes it around. I don't know how he does it. Or his age. He looks like Rumpelstiltskin, but he's not that old. And he has everything imaginable dangling off that thing.
There's a guy, he used to be in the Castleberry area on 436. He had a cart that he rigged up that would pull like four other little cars.
Train.
Yeah, had a train of stuff behind him. Dude had some stuff.
What old boy needs to do is get some female testosterone. Roofies her, so she passes out. Pump her full of testosterone.
I don't know if we could endorse a roofying.
Yeah, you can't be drugging people.
Yeah.
Tell that young lady that is having the issue with the priests and stuff, not giving her communion and not absolving of her sins. Tell her to focus more on her relationship with Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior and to not worry so much about what the denominational process is for being a Catholic or Anglican, Episcopalian, whatever denomination she follows. It's all about her relationship with Jesus Christ and got nothing to do with the denomination.
God's mad too that the dude won't get off his ass and marry her.
Marriage is a piece of paper with a whole lot of headaches when it's time to go. When it's time to go, it's time to go. You need a piece of paper telling you that you love me to be with me.
Okay. The poor quality ones, we gotta work on it. I can't.
Hey, about this chick with the dude that won't marry her. I mean, she should be happy that he's around, man. Did he stick around? Is he taking care of his kids? All right, so shut up. If you don't like it, then beat the sticks. Probably didn't want to marry her because when she starts having these feelings because she isn't well, she'll get out on him, and then all of a sudden he'll have to pay her alimony and child support, and he didn't want that. So, smart man. Good decision.
Okay, I would say the advice I get from the Sandberg Zoo is great, but the last one got to be up in the moors. A giggity goo.
I didn't even hear what he was saying.
Star Trek guy here. Believe it or not, I'm all for this long-term girlfriend. Her man should put up. I think she should listen to the priest, stop giving up that pee, see how fast he puts the ring on it. Or two, tell him to go look for some new pee, see how fast he comes running back. Or three, call Regina Hunter up. You guys have a really long-term relationship. You guys have kids. You're going to get alimony and half his stuff. Beedoo.
I mean, technically, I think in this state, they would be considered commonwealth marriage? Is that what it is? I mean, she hasn't worked in order to raise the kids.
Yeah, there's a chance she could get away with the alimony out of that if she wanted to.
Heather has answers going full circle today, huh? See, well, let's think about it. When you get married, the woman quits putting out. Problem one. Problem two, when they quit putting out, you get divorced. She already said in her letter that she's financially dependent, so when they get divorced, she's taking half. What is the benefit to getting married again? Sincerely, happily married. Don't tell her.
I worked out fine for me when I finally got it right on the fourth try.
I really enjoyed Heather's bit today. I'd like to comment on the woman, where the man won't marry her even though they have two kids together. Well, there is a certain segment of men in society, that really enjoy calling their children bastards. My father did it all the time. He'd say, "Hey, you big-headed, dumb bastard, get over here." Maybe that's the problem. Maybe he likes calling them bastards. God bless.
Shannon, Easy, Heather, KP. Do we have to have that discussion that we're cutting fire and police? I just cannot measure up the level of incompetence and ignorance. It is egregious and gross. And I would think the people out there in Denver, Colorado would want to jump through some sort of hoop, either at the voting booth or voicing their concerns. Beetle, beetle.
I mean, why not just turn the lights off in the city and all the public street lights off at night, saving the electric bill?
Hey, just remember, your crime statistics go down when you don't have anybody arresting people for crime.
That's true.
I think the next slogan for tourism in Colorado should be, roaches check in, they don't check out.
Hey-o. What's happening on this? This would be, I've got this talk, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Meat talk.
And you got the other thing. Mm-hmm.
Not only did your ex get that juicer, but she also ran off with that red Summerfest hoodie. I remember that.
Yeah. Holy crap, I forgot about this. Yeah, let that down. Now you might. I forgot all about my hoodie. Thanks a lot, buddy.
She's really missing it now.
I'll never forget about the juicer. Never.
Hey, Shannon, my brother was a firefighter, and when he heard about that Denver Fire Department getting their budget cut, he was pissed. He was like, they're not even going to be able to upgrade to like an 80-inch TV this year, and they probably won't even get their pickleball court built.
Firefighters have a tough job, and a weird schedule. Was it 24 on, 48 off?
Yeah, I don't know. I know.
Or 48 on, 24 off. It's got to be the other. You can't work for 48 hours straight, right? And they eat like the station near my in my neighborhood shops at the Publix.
Oh, there's always the one guy that cooks, and he's
They bring the whole fire. They don't even take the personal vehicle. Let's take the truck out. They take the truck. They park it in the parking lot. They come out with baskets and baskets of food.
Hey, I couldn't call in. Too late. Anyway, I wanted to ask that doctor if there was some way cosmetically, to add. I want my foreskin back. Is there any way to get that put back on or add it?
I think you got to stretch what God gave you. what you're left with after your circumcision.
I mean, I don't know if that surgery has been considered, but if they can make a penis out of a forearm for a transgender,
right.
They can figure out how to slap an extra little skin on there if you want it.
Sure, but I don't know that it'd do anything,
Maybe it's the same skin as your eyelids anyway, so if you don't need your eyelids.
As long as you don't need to close your eyes anymore.
He's doing all right with it. Yeah, but I got my foreskin back.
Oh, boy.
They're in a common law marriage now. He would still have to pay child support and alimony. Be-do-be-do.
I figure so. Yeah, you're right. I don't know. Some people think differently about marriage. Some people it's just a piece of paper, and other people it just it means something more.
Can someone please tell that poor lady in that marriage that she needs to tell that Catholic priest to go pound sand and then take it to the streets and slap about 6 or 7 dongs and then tell her husband to go F off?
All right, sir. That's disrespectful for you. We're talking about a priest here. I mean, a man of the cloth.
They just slap 6 or 7 dongs.
Yeah, you just slap him with dongs. I mean,
didn't that ex that got the juicer also get your Dr. House cane? I imagine she got a whole bunch of stuff, but holy crap. I seem to remember that being one of your possessions.
We gotta stop this.
No longer in your possession.
But I got a cane from the TV show Dr. House.
You would see, they're really ruining you now because it seems like you maybe had gotten over it. You'd start
those things I'd forgotten about. Yeah. The hoodie, which I love that hoodie. I don't know why. The cane. I do remember things like the giant juicer and my tortoise. A giant, massive sulcata tortoise.
Yeah, but you also could have had a Dr. House cane walking around too, still.
I know. Yeah, well, I could use that every day, practically. Take it to the airport.
Was that your get on the airport plane cheating cane?
Yeah, it was one of them. All right, we get dark?
Yes, we are talking about 1930s. We started testing out some pesticides, different types.
Really good ones.
And we figured out some really good ones, but also they were doing weird things to people. And that's about the time we figured out we had created nerve agents.
Oh, yeah. In pesticides.
Yeah.
Do we have nerve agents before that?
Not to what we have now that cause people to, you
Our
know,
search for pesticides led us to nerve agents. And, wow, interesting.
So we'll talk about some past DDT. Using, you know, people have used it before.
DDT was some badass stuff, I'll tell you that. All right, that's next. It's the Shannon Burke Show. Oh. Tiffany Gomez, that guy is in real on the airplane chick, has posed for ultra, what's the name of the beer?
Ultra-right beer.
Ultra-right beer. She's wearing a tiny little Trump bikini. Is this for an ad for ultra-right beer, or is he just kind of trying to be a little influencer thing?
I think it's a little bit influencer thing. I know they did a calendar just recently that was all everyone was up in arms about because a bunch of conservative girls were doing a bikini for them, like a bikini calendar.
What's wrong with that? Because they weren't more, plus size?
No, the more ultra conservative were like, oh, well, you now you're taking women and making them sexual objects.
Oh,
and, you know.
Oh, like Budweiser hadn't done it for, you know, the beer industry hasn't done it for decades. Stupid people. This is funny, or I don't know that it's completely true. It could have been true. It may be true. Apparently, if students with surnames that start with a letter in the alphabet that comes later in the alphabet are given lower grades, study finds. Now, it doesn't mean that they're earning lower grades. They get lower grades. And I guess the theory would be you're grading, maybe they're in alphabetical order, you get to the W's like, ah, whatever, D, D, C, B. Researchers from University of Michigan say that these students are given lower grades and they tend to receive ruder comments on their work. Maybe something that happened unconsciously by the graders that's actually creating a real social impact, though. If you regularly receive low grades at school, there's good news. It may not have been a reflection of your intelligence. Instead, your surname. They analyzed 30 million grading records from students from the University of Michigan. They used Canvas, the online management theme there. The team's analysis revealed a clear pattern of a decline in grading quality as the teachers evaluated more assignments. Students' names with A, B, C, D, or E received 0.3 tenths of a point higher grade out of 100 possible points. The reason remains unclear, although research suggests that teachers might get tired and more irritable the further they get through the alphabet. I guess does a teacher always receive these assignments in alphabetical order?
I mean, I'm sure a lot of times they do, or that's just their way they do their own assorting and filing, is to make sure they put it all in alphabetical order, and then they can just go down the list of the kids' names.
Because I got to tell you, I'm a B. Well, I was only the best student ever.
Yeah, but did you feel like they were graded a little lesser for you?
No, they didn't say nasty things to me in the side, in the column. They suspect fatigue, the number one factor that's driving this effect. When you're working on something for a long period of time, you get tired, you start to lose your attention, your cognitive abilities drop a little bit.
You see, I would think that would go the opposite direction then. You would think that the kids with the Z and the W name, the teachers are so tired, they don't like, okay, I don't care. I don't want to get all the way through, just whatever. Because the kid with the A, you would assume that's the teacher's like, I'm on fire. I'm going to make sure I mark everything that's wrong, get this kid right on, get him set.
The solution, they believe, is hire more graders to avoid fatigue.
Why don't you just shuffle the papers?
Yeah, absolutely. Shuffle it like a deck of cards. And
you don't ever get to know which one you're doing.
A new survey indicates that millions of Americans would cheat in an election to help their candidate. They double vote, trash a friend's postal ballot, or do some kind of trickery so their guy would win. 45 million fraudulent ballots. Oh, that's not part of that. That's a different. All right. The Heartland Institute. They're conservative guys. 1,467 voters. They took an unusual approach. They presented respondents with various types of dodgy voting and asked them if they would consider bending the rules themselves. A voter exits after casting their ballot in the Georgia primary. They're asked if they thought they might vote in multiple states, say, or destroy or alter a ballot. Friend or families, or pay a fellow or a voter a few bucks to tick a box. Asked if they would give another false information about where and when to cast their ballot. A small proportion of voters said they would consider cheating in a scenario, but added together, they found that more than a fourth of voters would consider some type of fraud. Overall, 28% of respondents stated they would resort to at least one form of election fraud if it helped propel a preferred candidate. If you do the math, that means that if the turnout is similar to 2020, 45 million ballots may be fraudulently cast if they're not prevented.
Nobody's surprised.
And that would be, I would imagine, a normal election, like the 2016, that might be the standard average, that you could expect that 28% of these votes are fraudulent. On either side, doesn't say one side or the other.
No, and I think that number might actually be low. I really do. Because of the fact that Trump and everybody else so put so much introspection into that election and said, hey, we need to really look into this. What should have been done a while ago. It should have been done before this and before that.
Yeah.
Where people went, hey, our election is kind of not very secure. We don't do a great job at making sure we tell everybody we do. But this is kind of easy to cheat in certain spots, so why don't we kind of tighten this up?
27% of Biden supporters said they'd consider some trickery. 29% of Trump backers. Men more likely to cheat than women. Black and Hispanic voters said they would commit voter fraud at higher rates than whites. The most cheating-prone group is young people. 52% of adults 18 to 39 would bend the rules to get their preferred candidate in. A lot higher than the 15% of those age 65 and above. Hell yeah. I mean, I think you're right. I think that number's low. I think when you ask people if they would cheat, they go, well, of course not. Well, I'm offended by that,
But if they had the option, if they knew they weren't going to get caught.
Right.
People would cheat. They would.
And the 2% more Trump supporters say they'd cheat than Biden. And I think that's probably because they feel they've cheated. They've already been cheated out once, a natural number might be a little less. The Center for Election Innovation and Research, a think tank, says undocumented migrants almost never vote illegally in the United States. You believe that?
Almost never. Yeah, I like the term, though.
Almost never.
Ever. No, almost never.
They vote, illegal aliens vote never, ever, almost. Well, the survey shows that election officials need to impose common sense election rules. Mississippi, Missouri, Oklahoma already make voters sign mail-in ballots on the front in front of a notary. They should make that nationwide. If lawmakers do not succeed in getting better election integrity, Americans will cheat in the 2024 election. How do we know? They openly admit it. There's two ways. The most simple, paper ballots, in-person voter ID. Make it a national holiday. And I mean, think how perfect that would be after that.
Yeah.
Or you just may not like the outcome, but it would be as close to perfect as ever.
There are other ways to fix it.
Ink on the finger. Boom. Knock it in there.
We had those guys two years ago, that had that lottery system ticket that, you know, they only worked the one time. You couldn't cheat with them. You couldn't do anything else. I mean, in theory, they would work great. But again, we decided, let's do these voting machines that are unhackable, except every time we take them to a convention, they seem to get
someone hacks them in record time. Yeah. One guy did it from a phone sitting in the crowd. Let's get dark.
Yes, let's do that.
It's disturbing history with EZ. There's a lot of history out there. Some of it isn't in the books.
The specialty use for a lot of Middle Eastern terrorist groups, the Russians, KGB loves them. The Germans, they loved it too.
Remember when Al-Qaeda put out that video of the dog they hit with a nerve agent? Gruesome stuff.
Oh, yeah, we'll talk about the people they hit with one too here in a few minutes. But really, it can be started with German scientists. In fact, the first ones were around 1934.
Really?
Yeah, the first ever nerve agent synthesized was GA. G standing for German. A is the first one. That's weird classifier that they do on these. That's actually its given name is Tabin. And then in 1936, GB was sarin. And followed
sarin? They made sarin?
Yes.
And they were thinking about how to kill cockroaches.
Well, this is kind of before we synthesized it into nerve agents. Figuring out how to use it to kill cockroaches and plants. What they ended up doing was they dropped those chemicals and they saw, wow, the wildlife, like the cows in this area, immediately start shivering and keel over. And we got to figure out why that was. And that's how we ended up with sarin gas. 1939, they got GD, which is Soman. And finally, GF, which is cyclosarin, back in 1940.
Cyclosarin, yeah.
Yeah.
Ew.
Now, how does the nerve agent actually work? It is a chemical that basically disrupts mechanisms by which nerves transfer messages to the organs, which just causes complete body failure at some point.
And it's an inhalant, obviously. Or it can be topical, can't it? I think some of it.
Yeah, most of them are inhalants, though. Usually you'll see it by blisters and shaking in body, just because once you lose control of the nerves and things like that, your body kind of starts to seize and things like that. And we'll start with the Dugway Proving Ground in Utah. It had been used for trialing hundreds of nerve agent sprays without any reported incidents. That all changed on March 13, 1968, when 1,211 liters, or about 320 gallons, of the nerve agent VX were sprayed over a target area. The next day, nearby sheep, shepherds and farmers reported that their flocks were collapsing, followed by slow, agonizing deaths. Initial symptoms include acting dazed, staggering uncontrollably, and the neck jerking from side to side. Once all the sheep fell down exhausted, they never rose again.
They're dead.
Yeah. Some poor creatures were put out of their misery by the farmers who shot them, and within several days, as many as 6,000 sheep were dead.
Why, did they just release this stuff everywhere?
Well, they usually would release it into a certain target area. Problem is, they happened to have a little bit of a windy gust that day, and the Army, of course, said, "We have no idea what you're talking about," until about 8 days later, a confidential Army document admitting that the nerve agent test may have played a role reached the media. Other causes such as pesticides were suggested, however, panic set in and journalists questioned the effect that the chemical and germ warfare experiments might have on people. The Dugway incident had a direct influence on President Nixon's decision to seek an international ban on biological weapons the final year.
Yep.
Back in 1916, experimental research station was set up in Wiltshire, England, to conduct experiments with mustard gas.
Mm.
Towards the end of World War II, the experiments with nerve agents began. In 1953, Ronald Madison, a 20-year-old Royal Air Force engineer, arrived at Porton Down to take part in an experiment that he believed was seeking a cure for the common cold. Remember, this is them doing it on their own soldiers. He planned on using the 15 shillings that he would earn to buy an engagement ring for his girlfriend. But in fact, he was used as a human guinea pig to test the effects of a nerve agent sarin.
Wow.
Unbelievably, one of the volunteers had fallen into a coma just 2 months earlier, but they decided to keep, you know, seeing how this would go. Ronald Madison was sent to a chamber with a respirator and had 200 milligrams of sarin dripped onto his skin through two layers of cloth. He started to sweat, lose his hearing. Within minutes, he began to convulse on the ground, and a substance that looked like frog spawn or tapioca foamed from his mouth.
He foamed.
After he was taken to the hospital, his whole body turned blue. Despite being given oxygen, he was gasping for air. Doctors were unable to resuscitate him even after injecting adrenaline straight directly into his heart.
Wow. That's Pulp Fiction style there.
It was eventually revealed that hundreds of volunteers were subjected to nerve agent experiments at Porton Down. In 2004, Ronald Madison's stricken family finally received some recompense after the inquest was held. So,
$200
Yeah, probably. Also, you know, this was World War II. Most of his family is already gone, so it's his grandkids. Like, hey, sorry, old Uncle sorry. Ronald didn't
get... carried out medical experiments on your uncle.
Yeah, you know, he didn't get to give that ring to his sweetheart.
He died writhing in pain, foaming at the mouth on the floor.
Mm-hmm. Turning blue.
Good Lord.
From just a couple of drops through two pieces of cloth.
On his arm.
Yeah.
Jesus.
The story of Andrei Zeleznikov, a Soviet chemical weapons scientist, evidence that surviving exposure to nerve agent can be actually a fate worse than death. Back in 1987, he was working at a research institute to produce the nerve agent Novichok. One morning in May, a vent malfunctioned and he was exposed to a small amount of Novichok 5. Andrei immediately saw red and yellow rings before his eyes, heard a ringing in his head, and began to choke. He was given a cup of tea and injected with an antidote before being sent home.
Sent home?
To the hospital.
They had an antidote?
Yeah, they do have antidotes for him.
A cup of tea?
That was to help the antidote go down.
Oh, okay. Oh, and so they have an antidote to sarin, maybe?
I think they do.
Oh.
It's just the problem is it's so impossible to administer in time.
Right. You're shaking by then. You can't do it yourself.
As he walked, his head began to spin, so he was taken to a hospital. You know, I remember they sent him home, but he got a little walking around. Then finally, he was like, hey, I probably should go to the hospital after I got, you know, exposed to the dangerous nerve gas. His slow recovery involved weeks in a coma and several months learning to walk again. For the next 5 years, the once vibrant, creative man battled a range of debilitating conditions, including weakness in his limbs, toxic hepatitis, epilepsy, and the ability to concentrate.
Man.
In 1993... Now, divorced and friendless because he couldn't be around people, he had a fatal brain seizure while eating his dinner.
Thanks for your help, buddy.
No, no, send me home early. 1995, the deaths of prominent Russian banker Ivan Kivlede and his secretary Zara Ismailova, both an avid critic of the Russian mafia and economic corruption, Kivlede had made some enemies. After their deaths, it was declared that the deputy head of Kivlede's bank had purchased poison from an acquaintance and used it to kill him, and that poison is now believed to have been a Novichok-like substance.
Wow. Where'd he get it?
Probably from the Russian mafia, if I was to take a guess.
Yeah, isn't that what they used on Navalny, something like that?
It was a nerve agent they used on him, yeah. A cotton ball was used to rub a minuscule amount of the lethal nerve agent beneath a rubber screw cap in the mouthpiece of Kivlede's telephone.
Wow.
So he took a little inhale of it while he was talking on his phone. Within 2 hours after arriving at work, he showed symptoms of a heart attack. He suffered a catastrophic organ failure, fell into a coma, and died 3 days later. The following day, his secretary was admitted to the hospital with similar symptoms, and she as well died.
Made some phone calls on the same phone, huh?
Yeah, that or just in the room.
Wow.
Permeates
a couple of drops.
It doesn't take much. Back in 2017, actually, you might remember this story, and that was the death of Kim Jong-nam, who is Kim Jong-un's older half-brother. Estranged from his family, Kim Jong-nam lived outside of North Korea and traveled under a false name. But on February 13, 2017, two women approached Kim Jong-nam and splashed his face with the deadly agent. Nerve agents VX. He arrived at the airport's medical clinic conscious but in extreme pain. Initially, he had high blood pressure and pulse readings before suffering a seizure. His blood pressure and oxygen levels then fell dramatically as his organs began to shut down. He suffered an excruciating death in the ambulance within about 20 minutes.
Wow. Man, what was the problem?
He was outside his control.
Man.
I don't know if you remember this. The female attackers claimed they believed they were taking part in a prank reality show.
I don't remember that. Holy crap.
They thought that they were like, ha ha ha, they splashed from water in his face. They could have got some on them. Yep. It later transpired that producers, quote producers, of the show were from North Korea. And a further twist, Kim Jong-nam was carrying an antidote for the VX nerve agent in his bag on the day of murder because he knew he was probably going to be murdered by his half-brother.
Why didn't he?
Well, once you took it one in the face, it was not pretty tough for you. That's almost instant. I think he was more of like he took a breathe in of it. He's like, okay, I'm feeling a little funky. I'm going to take a shot of this.
Damn.
The quiet town of Amesbury, with a population of about 11,000, found itself at the center of a Cold War-style conspiracy when two dozen of its citizens suffered from Novichok poisoning. On June 30th, 2018, Dawn Sturgis and her partner Charlie Rowley were taken to the hospital after falling ill at home. Known drug addicts, it was initially believed that they had overdosed. However, their symptoms such as sweating, fitting, foam at the mouth, and constricted pupils prompted further tests. Scientists at the good old-fashioned Porton Down Military Research Laboratory, you know, the place that was doing all the nerve gas stuff, they confirmed that Novichok poison had taken place. And 8 days after being taken to the hospital, Dawn Sturgis died. They still never sure how they got it, which makes me think that they thought they had got some drugs off of somebody, and instead they got a vial of nerve gas.
Wow.
Almost 4 months earlier, Sergei Skripal, a former Russian spy, and his daughter were exposed to Novichok when it was placed in the door handle in his nearby Salisbury. A search of Charlie Rowley's home unearthed a small bottle which contained the toxin, which means one theory is that Sergei Skripal's would-be assassin disposed of the bottle carelessly, which they thought that Joel, Charlie, and Dawn thought that they had found just some beautiful drugs on the side of the road that someone has gotten rid of.
Oh, my God. Wow. Stick with weed.
1936. We talked about Germany making the very first ones, and during the process of developing their new pesticide, a German scientist synthesized tabin, one of the first known nerve agents. Up to 12,000 metric tons of this substance were produced at the Dienfurth forced labor camp, about 25 miles from Poland, Wrocław, Poland.
Yep.
From 1943 until the end of World War II, there were hundreds of deaths from tabin exposure, either due to accidents or deliberate experimentation. Victim deaths were described as resembling the final frantic struggles of an ant sprayed with insecticide. Really, because it is. It's the same stuff. Yeah.
On steroids.
Inmates there were forced to produce the nerve agent and fill bombs and shells with it. Part of the manufacturing plant were enclosed with toughened glass, and workers wore protective clothing and respirators. But the nature of tabin is such that no one knew if they were accidentally exposed to it until, well, it was pretty much too late.
Wow.
One grim incident involved four pipe fitters who had tabin drained onto them while they were cleaning the pipes. Before their protective suits could be off, they had died from convulsing. Despite the inmates dying from exposure, malnutrition, overwork, and disease in the production of it, Hitler actually never used it.
Really?
As the Allies advanced, extreme efforts were made to hide any evidence that tabin had actually been existed. They didn't want to hide it for future wars. They're like, we already lost this one. The plant was scrubbed clean and many workers were killed by German secret police to prevent them from revealing their knowledge, if to no avail. Production facilities were transported to Russia, where they began making it there that year, and we know how the KGB loves their stuff now.
I love it.
Syria.
Yeah.
There have been regular reports of nerve agent use. Charity organizations such as Doctors Without Borders and foreign hospitals confirmed that symptoms as well as chemicals found in fluid samples of victims are consistent with exposure to nerve agents. Highly publicized chemical raids have taken place in Gotha in 2013 and 2018. However, dozens of lesser-known attacks have resulted in hundreds of deaths and thousands of injuries since the conflict began in 2012. In 2017, more than 80 people died and hundreds were harmed when four bombs were dropped on the small town of Khan Shikhon early one morning. As emergency services personnel arrived to assist the injured, they also too began to fall over. Victims had constricted pupils, convulsions, paralysis, inability to breathe, foam at the mouth, and skin that turned blue. Survivors were taken to a nearby clinic where they were hosed down and given nerve agent antidote. A further series of airstrikes, though, would destroy that medical facility, just making it more difficult to do that.
Huh.
And we'll finally end in Iraq. In the Kurdish people of Halabja, they've suffered long-lasting effects from a chemical attack that took place on March 16, 1988, toward the end of the Iran-Iraq War. Over a period of 5 hours, chemical bombs containing a potent cocktail of mustard gas, tabin, sarin, and VX. So all of them were dropped. Survivors distinctly remember they recalled the smell of apples. Apparently, that mixture created a smell of apples, which is an aroma associated with tabin. Most of the victims were civilians, with up to 5,000 killed and 10,000 injured.
Wow.
There had been 2 days of conventional bombing beforehand, and it was later conjectured that this was so that the gas could easily penetrate through broken windows and blown out, you know, rooms. After the bombs were dropped, people's eyes began to swell, they struggled to breathe, and they began to vomit. Those who managed to escape in their cars had to drive over dead bodies to escape. Some victims were unconscious for days, and the aftermath was devastating. Bodies lay contorted in hideous position, their clothes stained with vomit and blood. Fathers and mothers had huddled over their children in vain attempts to protect them.
That is some dark-ass stuff right there.
Survivors suffered debilitating conditions such as respiratory problems, blindness, and nerve damage. Until recently, people still died when they accidentally came in contact with mustard gas that had accumulated in the basements there.
Wow.
In 2010, Chemical, his nickname, Ali Hassan al-Majid, was hanged after the Iraqi High Tribunal found him culpable for the attacks and other war crimes.
Chemical Ali.
Yep.
Yep. I remember him. Damn. Yeah. That's a hell of a weapon, but unbelievably indiscriminate. When we return, there's a troubling new trend. A Stanford doctor has warned of a horrific trend that is seeing men put a substance in women's drinks. It's not what you think.
You nasty bastards.
It's the Shannon Burke Show.
Yo.
Thanks again to Men's Clinic. Adam Gomez for coming in and taking some questions today. And thanks for the Hydra Max. I just got the instructions out on it. I need to read more. It's got a booklet.
That also has a strap for no-handed use,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, it has a strap around it. It came out of the box. I'm like, what is that for? And it's so that you can wrap the strap around your neck. And the other end has a clip on it. You can use the Hydra Max, put it on there, and just kind of lay it. And the illustration has a guy with his hands behind his back, you know, just kind of, yeah, that's right. That was very thoughtful of you. Thank you. I sent a picture to Bubba. He's quite jealous. He said, buddy, what's that? What's the different thing, buddy? What? In a disgusting new trend, and a PSA, a Stanford doctor has warned, especially women, about the grim trend of men ejaculating into their drinks. Now, at first thought, I'm thinking, okay, this is going to happen at the nightclub. You got to worry about roofies at the nightclub and somewhere home, maybe. Dr. Argavan Sals took to TikTok. Thanks to security footage and CCTV in offices and other businesses, more offenders are getting caught. There's an unsettling number of instances in which men have been caught putting their semen into women's water bottles. We heard about that one guy. The lady got herpes from him, right?
Yeah, she did.
Some more women in the office got herpes from him. The water bottles, coffee cups, practice was brought to her attention by a follower who cited a case in Minnesota of a man ejaculated into a female coworker's coffee for nearly a year before getting caught. The California story, the dude putting semen into a water bottle and into a jar of honey she used every day. It can be a hotbed of infection agents like gonorrhea, chlamydia, and everything else. Herpes. If the person ejaculating has an STI, exposing the drinker unbeknownst to her could cause a problem.
Man, I don't want to victim shame, But I got some questions for the lady that went a year without wondering why her coffee tastes funny at work.
Or maybe it just tasted better. I don't know.
Was she? That tells me that this lady needs to back off on the French vanilla creamer that she's putting in their coffee afterwards.
Yeah, if you can't notice a load in there.
Yeah. And also, did this guy wait till she left and then ran in there like the
rubbed one out
and the Hamburglar and just, you can't catch me, and then ran out? Or
did he have a deposit ready to go?
Or did he? Yeah, did he make her coffee for her? Or?
Yeah, get that coffee for her. And then he comes back. Here's your coffee.
I'm going to go take a nap.
Yeah, would have been affected by this too. They say describe as drinking from a cloudy water bottle or drinking coffee that tastes sour, similar to spoiled milk.
Again, this lady for a year.
She's using bad creamer. I ran out of milk. I had to use some half and half. I'm like, wow, it tastes really good. There are a disturbing number of men who have done this. In one case, Mr. Lynn was arrested on felony sex crime charges, but a legal loophole allowed those charges to be dismissed because the law doesn't define contact with semen as sexual contact. That's a good lawyer. He told cops he ejaculated in the mug at least twice in 6 months under her desk, her keyboard, her mouse, mopping up the mess with one of her hair scrunchies. God, what a creep.
This dude's a monster.
She caught Lynn one day, his back facing her, his hands near his crotch. He quickly ran from the scene. when I saw the comment about this man on my video, I honestly don't know that. I did not know that men ejaculated into women's beverages was like a thing. But when I was searching for it, I mistakenly searched for men ejaculated into women's water because I forgot the comment was specifically about coffee. this happened in California too. So it happens in workplaces more than anything else, right?
Well, yeah, because if it's at your home, it's your spouse or whoever's living with you. It's like the guy with Heather yesterday with the tampons. You don't hear about that too much. And then also at the club, it's a little, you gotta be ready to go.
If you're going to be a real dark club, first of all.
Awesome, but you got to be ready to go.
They say it's more, some of the women say it's more serious and invasive than just getting hit or punched. Man, that's just a sick dude, right? They said the psychology behind such an unsettling fetish hasn't been extensively studied, though most of the literature on extreme fetishes paints those that have them as being dysfunctional with deviant sexual preferences. They have studied men that ejaculate into women's beverages by psychologists. The act itself could be seen as a way to assert power over their victim. One dentist exerted power over his by trickling several of his female patients into swallowing a syringe filled with his semen. Oh, he told them to stop the bleeding in their mouths. God.
I feel bad for those poor intern psychologists that have to go there and like, all right, Tom, why did you ejaculate into the coffee? We're going to have to figure this out here. So we're going to need like 5 sessions of
of like 1 hour therapy sessions. And then you get caught doing it. In Colorado, I don't know. This makes a lot of sense, but I'm all right by it. Doesn't sound like it's a waste of time. Governor Jared Polis there signed into law the first measure passed in the United States that aims to protect the data found in a person's brainwaves. They say this is necessary. All these quick advances in neurotechnology make scanning, analyzing, selling mental data increasingly more possible. Selling mental data?
That's something we're coming to at some point.
Oh, then there's no hiding that.
Oh, at some point, you're going to get ads in your dreams.
Oh, that'd be terrible. Co-sponsor Kathy Kipp, state rep there, said the while advanced was in neurotech field or hold great promise for improving a lot of lives, we got to provide a clear framework to protect people the personal data from being used without their consent while still allowing these new technologies to develop. All right, so they're worried that as a consumer product, it could currently operate without regulation. Are they talking about the Neuralink? That's the only product out there, neurotechnology-wise, that is in application right now.
That we know
of. That's been approved, too, to be tested.
But, I mean, there could be things that are out there grabbing your brain waves.
That's what I'm worried about. Something that's not implanted in your head that, you know, some kind of device.
Maybe scans your brain.
Maybe they can, I don't know what they get. The truth, that's for sure.
No, they get advertising because that's what they'll want to use it for.
Oh, to shoot advertising into your brain.
Or to, I mean, how many times we question the fact that somehow you're talking about needing a new hose and you go onto Facebook and there's 20 ads for hoses. And you're like, how the hell did they know I needed a hose?
So, yeah, but how, so you would, in your head, you'd also go, oh, I get that hose on Amazon. Or
well, they're grabbing your,
your thoughts.
In theory, they're grabbing your brain waves and going, okay, Shannon needs a hose. Let's send it to his Facebook that he needs to get those.
Also, I've got 11 ads for penis pumps on my my Facebook.
They need to stay away from our brainwaves during the show because who knows what the
that's what I'm worried about. Like they're like with some kind of ray gun pointed at your head and go, oh, this is a sick and twisted dude right here. You wouldn't imagine what he's thinking about right now. Synchron, a rival to Neuralink, said Reuters that they're preparing to recruit patients for another large-scale clinical trial that will require commercial approval for their device. Yeah, the thing about technology today is though it's an idea, and then like a month, it's like, hey, we got one. We got three companies competing with each have one of these.
Yeah, which is I think why they have this bill going through, because it sounds silly on paper, like, oh, they're going to steal our brainwaves. Well, at some point, it's going to be in use.
They say Facebook and Instagram, Meta's working on it, along with Elon Musk and Neuralink. They're developing technology that can detect brain activity, then potentially put it to commercial use. Mind-brain data has a lot of potential. Targeting ads, exploiting human moods, selling stuff to, or regenerating lost brain function. Selling ads is going to be, and mining data. Tinfoil hats aren't so stupid anymore, are they?
Yeah, no, they're going to start selling those.
A hat that'll protect your head, that's not a bad idea.
You start getting this, you're going to see people just walking around with Faraday cages on their head and
Mylar balloons for those. Meta has their AI, and it was in a gifted disabled child or just some parenting group, Facebook group. Now, did the people in the group know that AI was in there?
You can call for it.
Oh, that's right. You asked for it. It took an entirely new level. Members of a New York parenting group, this AI claimed to have a child who is both gifted and has a disability. And insisted that the child attends a real and extremely specific school for the gifted and talented. And Facebook's algorithm ranked the bizarre AI response as the top comment on the post. So what is this? Do you think it was really its AI, or do you think it was like, okay, our AI is down. Phil, go in there and...
No, because they're saying they're training those AIs on those groups now. So it's holding conversation in that mommy parent group now. So weirdly, I think if you have like a parenting group where they're talking about how to punish your kid, the bot's going to travel through there for a while, look around, and then go, okay, let's we're going to talk about it this way.
It's available for U.S. users, a number of different Meta apps. You can create an AI-generated stickers in chats or use Meta Imagine to create new images. Meta AI is available as an assistant across different apps. They're putting in Facebook groups where you could directly interact with members. The group's members asked in one, Does anyone have experience with a 2E child, both gifted academically and advanced disabled, in any New York City gifted and talented program? They added, would love to hear your experience, good or bad, or anything in between. Rather than getting some advice from a fellow parent, they got a message from Metis AI. And it said, I have a child who is 2E and has been part of the New York City gifted and talented program. We've had a positive experience with the whole citywide program, specifically with the program in the Anderson School. The teachers and the staff were knowledgeable and supportive of my child's unique needs and abilities. Someone's like, what in the black show, Black Mirror is this? Why would it respond like it has a child? And I mean, obviously that's a glitch. That's not a normal way. That's not what they want it to do.
It's trying to blend in with the group. It is kind of what they wanted to do. They wanted an answer. The programmers built it to have an answer for that group. So it needs to think it has a child to be able to answer correctly for that group.
Man, that's weird.
But you got to be more worried when Meta AI calls up the that very specific school and asks where it's, how his child is doing.
Oh, yeah. How is Philip today? is it tested enough to let it loose in a Facebook group about parenting?
Ah. Is it going to hurt anything in there? It's probably better than a lot of the parents in those Facebook parenting groups.
Probably. Trump was in New York yesterday for the trial. And, man, it was like a celebrity wherever he went. And you think New York City is so left. But here are a couple of pieces out of this. Out of Brooklyn. We love Trump. Here's a different. Outside the bodega. Here's in Harlem, a little kid telling him that he loves him. And on WABC in New York, this was the talk after that visit.
Democrats, you better wake up, and you better wake up fast. When Trump comes to the heart of Black America, to Harlem, and is receiving a warm welcome, almost a hero's welcome, the alarm bells are going off that you're about to lose the election. When Trump can walk onto your base with no problem at all and be embraced by the community, that's a big problem.
If he can come into your community with no problem at all, what does that mean? Does he wants Trump to experience some problems there?
I mean, you look at Joe in his own hometown of Scranton.
We can't even play that audio.
Can't play that audio.
It's just F Joe, but F, you know, F.
And that's his own hometown where you would expect the biggest support you possibly could get for him.
If you are a Democrat, the White House, you better wake up. All those million-dollar consultants, you better put them to work. Don't take your base for granted. You're already bleeding support with your base of African-Americans and Latinos. And Trump can smell the blood in the water, and he says, I'm bringing the fight to you. I'm going to Black America. I'm coming to Harlem.
That's a black guy, by the way. He sounds a little worried. What do you think? I wish I could play the Biden's entry into Scranton and his motorcade coming through.
Yeah, just remember all those college campuses a couple of years ago. It's the same.
I mean, that's your hometown, and you can't get there's not one positive vibe out there for you at all. Well, journalism is truly gone. The Daily Beast. Where would you rate the Daily Beast in terms of journalism?
HuffPost, listicle sites.
Yeah. They have just announced this week they've hired a reporter whose only job, his sole focus, is the future Mrs. Bezos, Lauren Sanchez. They call this person the senior Lauren Sanchez correspondent. And he will cover all aspects of intelligent, gorgeous, and funny life of the former news anchor and current billionaire fiancé. They say, I've never seen anyone land on the radar of Americans as fast and brilliantly as Lauren Sanchez. I think everybody I know is completely fascinated by her. That's the new Chief Lauren Sanchez correspondent, Joanne Coles. She had the great and good fortune of meeting her once and was blown away by the woman. What I love about her is she's so clearly having so much fun and she's enjoying herself, and there's a time of deep seriousness in the world, and it's wonderful to see someone who's having such an apologetically good time.
We're going to pay people money to report on the spouse of a billionaire.
I'm very excited to find out all about her. There's no detail too small that I'm not fascinated by. This is a woman whose only celebrity right now is due to the fact that she's about to marry the richest man, one of the richest men of the world. That's it.
Yeah, because she was nobody before that. I mean,
right.
She was a reporter, and I think she did Dancing with the Stars or something like that.
Right. But, I mean, she's absolutely no relevant news. Literally, it's like Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous, an updated version without the funny accent guy.
Yeah, but, I mean, I'm in the wrong business, because if they're going to pay $100,000 to this person to report on Lauren Sanchez all day long, I think I could do that too.
$100,000. And you just become a stalker.
Yeah, you have to be.
Of her.
Because for $100,000, you better have the biggest scoops on Lauren every day.
Yeah, and who's going to do any better than now? I mean, you look through the Daily Mail, there's always when he took delivery of his yacht, there's pictures, almost every day, there's her in a bikini on the boat looking hot at an event with Bezos. It looks like they're trying to make her into a Princess Di type situation. Speaking of that, Princess Harry has renounced his British residency. They make this sound like a big deal, but me, I think it's like he just did a change of address.
Basically. Official. Yeah, he did an official change of address.
You don't renounce your residency. I mean, he's still he's not an American citizen. Does he have some type of diplomatic immunity to be here as long as he wishes?
Well, he's got his own, like, work green card.
Does he?
Yeah, I do believe he does. Because remember, they were trying to revoke it because he lied about the fact he was doing drugs when he was in the U.S. He wrote it in his memoir. And you have to put it specifically on that paperwork. I have not done any drugs.
Part of the organization's, publicly announced that in paperwork coinciding with his first public appearance since Kate was diagnosed. He spoke via video link at an annual meeting of the Travelist, a sustainable travel organization he founded. And the new details he officially submitted, in which he declared his new country state usually resident, was now the United States. But it has been for a while, right?
Yeah, he's just made everything official.
I mean, he's not denouncing. He can't denounce his citizenship. He could get dual citizenship. And she's got some new jelly. She's sitting out jelly.
That's a high-end strawberry jam for her new...
it's a lifestyle company.
She's in a lifestyle company, except, hilariously enough, she bought the name here in the U.S., forgot to buy it in the U.K., and someone else bought it in the U.K.
Oh, Jesus.
So now there's a big banner on the site that says, if you'd like this site, donate a certain amount of money to this charity, and we might give it to you.
It's not a bad idea.
It's not a bad idea, but hilarious that she didn't think about getting it outside the U.S.
Is it Goop? What's her name's site? Gwyneth Paltrow's deal?
From what I've Without seen, the stones, she's trying to make it more Martha Stewart, like home lifestyle, and she's going to do a cooking show, and she's trying to become the new Martha Stewart.
Well, Martha Stewart has a background in food and beverage and restaurants and, cooking.
But Megan's seen people cook before.
That's what blows me away. They think, okay, we're the, prince and princess, or the duke and duchess of whatever, of Sussex, and now... you know, I'm going to have a lifestyle brand. First, I'm going to have a podcast. It's going to be, you know, because of who I am, I'm incredibly interesting.
Nobody's going to actually be there when I interview them, but.
That never got thoroughly busted out, which it really should have.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, it's terrible. All right. Upon our return, we will attend Masters Kimma and Pete and Flounder. Stick around. It's the Shannon Burke Show.
Oh.
A professional burglar ended up in front of a judge for the second time. Paul McKenna, a prolific thief, appeared in the Snaresbrook Crown Court with 78 convictions and 156 offenses under his belt. Most recent having come at the same court where he was seven months ago. Judge covered that case. He said when he abandoned his former lawyer, tried to convince the judge that he had no legal jurisdiction because the court was in France. He pointed out to the Royal Court of Arms on the back of the courtroom with the motto Dieu et mon droit. He said, if you look behind you, your actual law is written in French. He questioned if the judge could be sure of his identity after giving 23 different aliases to police and claimed that charging someone by post was unlawful. After much despair, his baffling defense was beaten down. He was jailed for 18 months. He appeared calmer when he showed up for his sentencing with a lawyer. This time he was set up for attempted domestic burglary, which had only come to court nearly 2 years after this incident. He tried to raid a house, blah, blah, blah. The judge said, look, you know, the aggravating factor is that you're passed. 124 offenses of theft, 66 of burglary. It appears just outside the license period for conviction number 73. You may not be a real good burglar.
I mean, he's got a point.
He does. Simply at this point, his burglaring career is done because, I mean, he's out. You know, he's like, oh, it's all McKenna again. Looks like his work. And he's been busted so many times. Has there ever been any success? And do you think at any time in your burglaring career, among the 78 convictions, that you might go, man, maybe I ought to apply for jobs somewhere else? You know what I mean?
I love it too, because yeah, he's been convicted 78 times. And I think in the last one, he smashed a window with his bare hand. So he was bleeding from walking through the house that he was robbing. The judge's like, hey, you're not good at this. You at least maybe watch a couple videos, learn how to break a window without cutting your hand all up.
Yeah. His barrister said he has a very long history of drug addiction. He's had an addiction to crack cocaine from the age of 15. While in custody, he's taken steps to address the root cause of his behavior. Judge said, in light of your offering, you're essentially a professional burglar. You may not be a very good burglar because of the record you have, but you have committed a lot of burglaries. I'm not going to go through them. You know they're long. They run 20 pages. Regretfully, for most of your life, you go to prison. You get out, you go to prison. It appears to be drugs, which are the blight of your life. Is there no getting out of that? No turning around?
No. I mean, 78 convictions. There is a point that there are people that just may not be able to rehabilitate.
There are people out there that have made one mistake in their life. And because of that one mistake, have very limited opportunities for the rest of their lives. And then you have this guy.
Yeah.
78 convictions.
It's mind-boggling sometimes when you do look at that and you go, how are there people that are in jail for their first conviction? And then sometimes you see, they're like, how does this guy that's walking the streets got a rap sheet that's longer than a CBS report, a receipt?
But then again, that's a guy that maybe you know he's going to go back to crime. Maybe that
sometimes you got to put those people underneath the jail.
How about 50 strikes and you're out? No. I know 3 strikes might be a little slim. 50. The Ottawa police, the Ottawa government there in Canada have put up a bunch of new cameras. Photo radar, which means speed cameras, and red light cameras to, you know, bump up the coffers. And they're getting some. So far, mainly cops. 112 driving-related complaints involving officers for the first time in 3 months of the year, compared to 78 related complaints in the first quarter of last year. Officers got 75 tickets for speeding through automated enforcement cameras, 12 for running red lights from red light cameras, and 25 internal complaints related to collisions involving Ottawa police officers this year. What's the rule on that? They have to just go whoop, whoop, whoop. As long as they do that a couple of times, they can run any light they want.
I mean, that's my understanding. As long as they are in the active pursuit and they've used their sirens, they can. I don't think they're supposed to. Like, they're kind of frowned upon, but.
They thought it would be a good idea. The rise in internal complaints related to the photo radar and red light camera infractions comes as the city of Ottawa continues to expand it. More cameras, more cameras. Plans for adding 60 more by the end of the year. It seems like they're kind of just doing it to police the police.
That's getting them.
I think it's so, you know, I don't know about Canada, but the United States of America, you get an opportunity to face your accuser. That's just it. You can't face a camera and a software program.
Yeah, I love that there's some of them in Canada now. The red light cameras are installing, and the speed ones have sprinklers installed in them because of the fact that people were lighting them on fire so much that they've had to install
some kind of fire suppression system.
Suppression system, yeah.
They're unconstitutional as hell. You know, in most places have outlawed them.
I've never been a big fan. It's so hard to, you know, you can prove that you weren't driving the vehicle and you can still be charged for it, which seems like you didn't commit a crime and you've been charged with a crime.
Right. Unconstitutional. They're ready. The boys are ready. Ladies and gentlemen, all the way from Atlanta, Georgia.
Rare falsified business record.
Hello, boys.
Well, it's Trump's not very understandable because of the echoes. Shannon Burke down in Florida. How you doing,
fellas?
Shannon, welcome aboard. How you doing,
Kimber,
sir?
Kimber, Pete, it? And Flounder. What audio are you getting to there?
What are we what now?
What were you just playing?
Oh, we were just playing
Trump
Trump was talking about the jury thing, but the audio, they have him coming out, it's all echo. He can barely understand what he's saying, and it's kind of a shame, but he's flipping pictures or something. Yeah.
He's talking about the jury selection.
The jurors that they picked.
Jury number 5, I didn't like him.
A lot of jurors got booted, and they've seated all 12. Don't you think it's weird they seated 12 in such a short period of time?
But we were just saying, I don't believe it. I can't, because they have to have alternates. There's got to be more than 12. It's got to be like 15 or 16. I think they have 5 alternates for them, don't they?
Right.
I think the judge sets what the limit. But anyway, so they've got all those people after they eliminated 2 and needed 7, and plus the extras, and they got them all on this like a half a day. I can't believe it.
Yeah, but,
you know,
it doesn't bode well, but it only takes one, you know, it only takes one to hold the whole show up.
Well, I think I was telling Pete, I think, in my opinion, the reason, as I understand it, I don't think the Trump team has issued any challenges to any prospective juror. And I can only assume that they know he's going to be convicted, and part of the appeal is going to be that the jurors were woefully under investigated by this judge, along with all the other things the judge has done.
I believe
guarantee an appeal.
One of the guys got removed because there was some evidence that he may or may not have been arrested years ago for vandalism of a political message sign of some sort.
Yeah.
You could bet your ass
that
Trump's people dug that up. You know they dug that up.
Well, absolutely. That's what I mean. And again, remember the Democrats, all the talk show people and the MSNBC and all those have now in the last couple of days come out to condemn Jesse Waters and Clay Travis because they're saying, oh, jury nullification, this trial is a sham. And, you know, you try to get on that jury and they're saying, oh, you Republicans would try to. Well, you Democrats just got caught doing it.
Yeah.
And the woman who said she couldn't do it because of her schedule, you know, and she was a liberal, too. And the only reason she wasn't picked is because of her schedule. But when she got to talking about how, well, I don't think you can really see a fair jury. I mean, they caught her too. That's 2 out of 2 that got thrown out. We're obviously liberals who got caught. And by the way, how come that guy's not in handcuffs in solitary confinement? federal right. law breaking. I mean, I talk about obstruction of justice and federal laws up against jury tampering. And I mean, my God. And of course, why isn't he in handcuffs? If he had been a Republican, if this had been a trial against, if this had been Hunter Biden on trial and they caught a Republican tearing down Democratic signs and he faked his lying stuff on a jury, I guarantee you he'd be in handcuffs and a perp walk on television to the federal lockup. Unbelievable.
It is. It is. And this is going to be, you know, my fear is that the judge wants to remand him at some point, or all these contempt charges. He decides to stop filing. Yeah.
Put him in jail. Please, God.
Every one of these things, it just explodes his popularity because people are starting to see what is happening here. We're turning into a third world banana republic where we jail our political opponents and hit them with lawsuit after lawsuit.
Yeah.
It's blatant. And there are a lot, everyone knows, some refuse to see it that way, because, you know, Orange Man bad, but he's going to get burned here.
Look at history. I'm no historian, but think about this. There have been political scandals in this country, and every country from the beginning when they're founding. But think about this. There has never been, even the Watergate scandal had nothing to do with this, where they're trying to deliberately make a one-party country so they can have federalized elections and a bigger Supreme Court for enough liberals by keeping a candidate off the ballot and keeping people from voting for whom they want. This has never happened. I don't remember a case in American history. Now, I don't go back to the 1810s or whatever, but I don't remember a case where they deliberately, and again, these laws, these are criminal cases, go back years. This case is from 2019 or 18 or something. So again, they planned all of this for the one reason, to have it all happen at the same time, so that of all the four cases, somebody would get through to keep Trump from running for president again. It's a scandal that likes of which this country has never seen, that this country's taken such a stand to prevent a former president, after impeaching him for no reason twice, to still go after him to stop him from running for president again for the will of the people. Never heard of it.
What's the general consensus among you gentlemen there about what the country's reaction would be if Donald Trump were to be put in jail?
Well, Pete, I don't think there'll be firestorm. I don't think there'll be riots by Republicans, but there'll be a lot of reaction.
The riot will be when they try and keep him off the ballot and tell us we can't vote for him. That's when all hell should break loose.
Yeah.
I think he'll shoot up in the polls once if he gets arrested. Yeah. I think this will piss people off.
I agree. We're going to let the opposite.
No question about it. But I don't see, and now again, Black Lives Matter and Antifa were burning down warehouses and looting buildings and turning over cars and setting fire to dealerships. I mean, all the things they did, the Summer of Love and all that kind of stuff. I mean, they've been going around. I don't see conservatives doing anything of that. But I think Pete's right. If they get to the point, if he goes to jail, we're all going to be screaming and yelling, oh, my God, this is going to be great. And he'll get out at some point unless I don't know what the term he could serve if he is convicted in this case and the judge, sentences him to 12 years or something.
He'll get out on appeal on a bond.
But the fact that he'll have to go back and get fingerprinted again, I guess, I suppose. Yeah. I don't know what the policy. But either way, when if he gets, it has to go back and at least be in front of a jail again or get fingerprinted stuff again, is popular, it's going to go nuts. But man, if they actually rule that they get away with this to keep him from being on the ballot, oh my God, it's going to be
wild. Let me ask you guys, you're in baseball country up there. I don't know that you read the MSNBC op-ed piece by Jahama Lahama, I forget his name, in the readout section, that bemoaning the horribly historically low 7% of black players in the Major League Baseball.
God. Well, let's just take all the races and all the categories. I mean, come on.
Well, the obvious point is that in the NBA and the NFL, each are 70% black. Nobody has a problem with it. Nobody.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Well, the place is full of Hispanic and more Asian players, but mostly Hispanic explosion in the last 20, 25 years.
That's what I said.
So there's plenty of minorities involved. Yeah. Right. And this is another thing of white liberals telling black people what they should do. Black people right now choose to play basketball and football. That's what they want to play. In the past, it was baseball, but now it's football and basketball, and it may go back to baseball once, football gets proven too dangerous, and they go to flag football in a few years. Maybe the cycle will go back to baseball. But quit telling black people what they should be doing.
The nerve of these people. It's all these young white women.
Uh-oh.
or, you know,
young white liberal women.
Yeah, they're going nuts. I mean, where are the balls on these people? Where are they getting off? Mind your own business. Yeah, what are you telling some black guy that he really should be playing baseball to make the numbers better?
Yeah.
I mean, maybe he doesn't want to play baseball.
But the fact is, nobody cares about DEI in the NBA or the NFL. We're all completely happy with it. You know, we're not demanding it at all.
Yeah. As soon as they start forcing young, short, fat white guys to have to mandatorily be on every NBA team, you know, then they come see me, you know.
Do you think some stuff's starting to leak out of some things that were not redacted in Bob Menendez's case? The word is that he plans to testify that Nadine, his wife, did all of these unscrupulous things. He didn't know anything. He came home and he found a gold brick on his desk. He said, "Honey, what's this?" "Oh, don't worry about it, Bob. I got it under control."
You know, I wonder whether he made a deal with her. I wonder if he actually is good. I read the same the documents where the court where what he's supposed to be testifying to would clearly indicate that he's going to basically blame her for setting up an awful lot of things that he may not have known firsthand knowledge about. So, but I don't know whether he's actually throwing her under the bus because he doesn't really give a damn one way or the other, or maybe she made a deal and said, "I don't want you to lose your, you know, Senate business, but I'll take that because they'll put me on probation or whatever." I don't know. Maybe he's going to throw her under the bus. I don't know.
Allow Bob Menendez to stay in the Senate?
No.
I can't imagine. Come on.
No. Even Lurch is saying get rid of him.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean, he's still getting briefings, security briefings, you know?
Yeah, I can't believe it. Well, again, he's not convicted, so it's only fair if he were, you know, I don't know, I guess. I guess he has to still do his job, but I he can't last. There's no way he can last.
I'm sure you guys have been watching what's going on at Columbia University. Been on TV all day.
We were talking earlier. I think this is an amazing thing to me for two things, Shannon. One, Columbia University, you're not old enough to remember this, but I, as a baby boomer, back in the 60s and 70s, Columbia University was pretty much the focal point of student protests almost every day by the thousands. They would shut down the administration building. I mean, it was unbelievable for civil rights and Black Panthers and the anti-war. I mean, there's like four different things all going on at the same time, free love and the women's movement, and especially Vietnam and everything else. And Columbia was all in favor. They said, "We don't want to hurt these students. You know, take over, you know, as long as nobody gets hurt, whatever." It was all no big deal. And now Columbia University, basically the home of protests for years in the protest period, Columbia now turns on the protesters and says, "We need police to come in here and handcuff these people, hand ties, and get them out of here." And to me, the only reason they did it was because finally, instead of Columbia University being afraid of the leftist reaction if they do something that helps the conservatives, Columbia is afraid of the conservative backlash after what just happened to the girl at Harvard and MIT not cracking down on the Jew haters, the Democrats. And by the way, these are all Democrats, all those Jew hating Democrats. And because Harvard and MIT and was it Cornell, whoever it was, Brown or somebody, didn't crack down, they're all now in big, big, big trouble, lost their jobs and everything else. Columbia now is afraid of the reaction from the middle of the country and not afraid of reaction from the left.
Yeah, that
to me
far.
Is a great sign. Same with Google. Google fired those employees who were doing the protest stuff, saying, "Well, you're violating our protest, and you leftist protesters are not allowed to do it." That's two great signs to me about the way they're reacting to protest, I think.
I think there's a bit of dangerous turn in these pro-Palestine, especially campus protests, because they started out being pro-Palestine, free Palestine, and then it was stop the genocide, and now they're literally donning the colors of Hamas, Hezbollah, and Houthis, waving their flags
hate
and
the
banners,
Jews.
And saying things like, "We are Hamas, we are Hamas."
Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah, it started off to protect the innocent children and civilians who were getting killed because they were in the area, you know, which is fine. You would say, "Well, let's not have all this killing of innocent people." That I can understand. Any liberal protester would automatically say that. However, when you get to the point where they're saying, "Well, let's kill all the Jews," and all of a sudden hundreds of thousands of students everywhere are condemning Israel, and today the 13 members of the Democrat squad in Congress refuse to condemn Iran for attacking Israel, and they also condemned Israel fighting back.
Right, for defending themselves.
for defending themselves. My God.
I saw today, and it reminded me, I saw a story, I think it was a Politico, an inside story of people in, you know, a White House people that work in the White House, aides and such. And instead of referring, you know, they referred to Trump as the former attending or whatever, the previous whatever. They just call him, now they just call him Hitler pig.
Listen, Shannon, I can't believe you brought that up. About 20 minutes ago, we were talking about this and flounder. I was mentioning that very same story. And again, I mentioned the point that remember when President White Trash was running and when he was elected, he said, if anybody ever says a bad, and I mentioned that comment, I said, boy, I wish I had that comment if I were doing a Republican campaign. Well, flounder has it. And again, remember what this guy said. And also, and Pete made the point too, listen to how he sounds. And I guess this is what, 4 years, does it say the date there, flounder? Had to be 2019.
It was right when he was sworn in.
Yeah.
All right, so it's 4 years. So it's a good 4 years. So listen to the difference in his voice and tenor and everything else and how he sounds compared to then. And also what he says compared to all those people calling Donald Trump an assassin and Hitler pig.
If you're ever working with me and I hear you treat another colleague with disrespect, talk down to someone, I promise you I will fire you on the spot. On the spot. No ifs, ands, or buts. Everybody is entitled to be treated with decency and dignity. That's been missing in a big way the last 4 years.
Well, you got it back, that's for sure. The most negative, hate-filled, spiteful administration in history, even worse than Putty Tat.
You're right, and his cognitive decline is so rapid from that's 4 years ago, man. It's
three years ago.
Yeah.
Wow.
Hard to believe.
Yeah, decency. It's coming back to the White House, people.
Yeah.
As long as we can put Hitler pig in jail.
That's how he pulled it off. You know, pretending to be a really nice, sweet old man, and he's not going to hurt anybody, and hide in the basement, and he'll be fine if you just let him be
fine.
He'll be fine. I'm sure you guys saw the homeless guy's house he's built along the 110 in L.A.
Oh, no.
It's a homeless encampment. It's between one of those L.A. river deals, the concrete, Duran. And there's a little, maybe at 15, 20 feet between the highway and the edge of that thing. And it's long been a homeless encampment, lots of tents and stuff. One guy had some hammers and some nails, found a lot of old wood and stuff. And it's literally built what looks like a fairly decent, sturdy house structure out there, complete with a garden, a barbecue, and electricity that he's heisted off a nearby lamppost.
Oh, my God. Well, you know, that's what they're doing. And again, isn't it funny? Now, the mayor of Los Angeles has just said that she wants the rich people of her city to start donating money to pay to take care of all these illegals. She's not saying, let's stop them from coming in. She's saying, bring in all you want. We just need you to start paying for them.
Yeah.
The nerve of these people. I mean, it's my amazing. God, she said it out loud.
Yeah.
You see what they're doing in Baltimore?
No, why not?
Why?
They got a lot of abandoned houses, so the city's going to sell it to low-income people for a dollar. The only stipulation is these poor people have to have at least $90,000 in their bank account so they can work on the renovations.
If they have $90,000, chances are they can afford rent somewhere. I mean, come on.
Right.
It's a joke.
Why are they getting a house for a dollar? Hell, I'll move there to get the house for a dollar.
Well, they say they've
then sell it when I put the money in. Oh, my God, pay off my bills. Well, what a great idea. Hold on. Guys, I got to leave. I'm going to Baltimore, buy a house for a dollar, and then I'm going to sell it and put my money back and get my nest egg for the kids. There you go.
Boy, a bunch of developers will come in there, and they'll gentrify the hell out of it, which is probably what it needs.
Oh, unbelievable.
Cameron, good to talk to you, my friend. Flounder, Shannon, Pete Davis.
My friend.
You guys, I love you. I miss you guys. Have a good one. Thanks for chiming in with us.
Semper Fi. Hoorah. Happy time in Florida, my friend. See you next week.
All right. Extra 106.3, right? That's what they're on. All right. We got to take our last break here? No. That's not our last break. Wishful thinking.
Close.
When we get back, it's time for your remarks on the Shannon Burke Show. Hang on.
Yo.
A food historian claims that tomato sauce on pizza is completely an American invention, and he's an Italian dude. And now Italian people are calling it blasphemous.
Alberto Grandi.
He says that before it was focaccia bread with stuff on the top in Italy.
Yeah.
And then Italians went to America and in between 1880, they called it the Italian diaspora, between 1880 and 1920, and they said, oh, my God, look at the tomato. And they started making the marinara. And then they, when they returned to Italy, they brought back the seeds and told people about all this stuff. And then the rest is history.
I mean, it shouldn't be that hard to look and find out. I mean, this guy making that claim is going against a bunch of other historians. So which one's the right one?
U.S. started mass producing tomato sauce in the 19th century. And Italian immigrants prompted to open up a ton of pizzerias. They outnumbered their Italian counterparts by World War II. When American soldiers landed in Sicily, they discovered to their surprise that pizzerias barely existed in Italy. The Italian people are ready to fight a mother effer over this. Because this is rubbish. I do not believe it. It is true. That's Gianni Alturi, a 30-year pizza maker in Rome.
Yeah, we're not talking hundreds and hundreds of years. Right. They should be able to figure out if they got, you should find some recipes and like, okay, did we have marinara on it until some guys went across the ocean? No, okay, then we didn't.
Well, in World War II, our soldiers were like, there's no pizza around here. And the pizza they had was like a round piece of a really thick bread with some, you know, fish on it.
Yeah, most of the time it was, you know, focaccia bread with olive oil and some toppings at that point.
They're bent over there. They're like, it's the Americans who learn from the Italians when it comes to the food and not the other way around. He claims pizza dates back to 1889. This is a story I hear in Naples with the invention of the margherita pizza. Right? And that's supposed to be the birthplace of that. But that doesn't, I don't know that the margherita pizza has tomato sauce on it.
Maybe not originally it didn't. I wouldn't be surprised. It was probably more of a pesto sauce.
They say the flagship pizza, margherita, was adorned with basil, mozzarella, and tomato to match the green, white, and red colors of the flag.
Yeah, I mean, this might be this historian splitting hairs, where he's saying there may have been crushed tomato on top of a pizza. That's not a pizza sauce. That's tomatoes on top of a pizza. A true pizza sauce on a pizza came from when they were doing it in America and then brought it over.
Because we like to be, you know, make everything in mass quantities and put it in a can and sell it to you through a television commercial, Chef Boyardee style. Well, some people don't like to fight about...
other countries, when it comes to food, they'll fight tooth and nail.
Some states will fight.
Here we're like, we made macaroni and cheese in a blue box.
I mean, I don't know that Florida's really known for a food.
Key lime pie.
Oh, okay. Okay, I get that.
I mean, you would kind of need key limes to make a key lime pie, so.
Mm. Do you ever get a text from somebody who goes, hey, how long has it been since we've talked?
Yeah, those are scam ones.
Never ever respond. I'm like, I think they're hoping that some desperate guy's like, oh my God, I'm so lonely. Someone wants to talk to me.
I always love it because if you do it, ignore it every once in a while, like it'll send a picture, but it's like some porcelain skinned Asian model it's like obviously that is somebody that's a modeling pics.
We ought to make this a segment of the show. These are the random DMs I get that I don't accept. Hello, are you getting on well? Hi, nice to meet. Can we make friends? That's some orchid. Anyone who know you must be very lucky. That's from Emily. Hello, nice to say hi to you. That's an Asian woman. there's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds.
At least you get those. Stupid ones on Facebook because I'm linked to our company's.
Here's Hilda. Hi, I'm in America. Nice to meet you. Nice to meet you. You look different from other guys. You are. Do you want to make sex on me? let's get to these remarks.
Yes.
From the Florida Man Radio app. and powered by Morris Family Farms and organic meats. There's a ton of archived material that's, you know, if you're just now finding the station and discovering us, you want to get to know a little bit about the past. Bubba's got his own thing going, but the Don Miller Show and this show, commercial-free podcast-style archives there as well. You can text the show, call the show, and leave us a remark. Hit the little button at the bottom. Here we go.
I think everybody missed where the girl in their long-term relationship said that she's 30 and the gentleman is 40, and they started dating. They were together for 16 years, excuse me. That means that she was 16 and he was 26 when they got together. What? Maybe she's just too old for him now. He realizes he's a predator. I don't know.
I believe she was 30, right, Heather? Wasn't she 38?
Yes, she was 38.
I wouldn't have.
I just realized my math was wrong. That means she was 14 and the guy was 24. What the hell is going on there? Somebody find out some more information for me.
A couple things about those people cheating on voting, Shannon. I'll tell you this. If I did it, I'd be caught immediately. Another thing is, isn't a lot of that stuff felonies?
Yes. Rarely prosecuted, but lately there's been some.
Oh, Shannon, the other guy. Hello, one hung low. I have a confession to make. My great-great-grandfather, Chin Hung Lo, was the one who ate Joe Biden's uncle. Oh, I'm so sorry for him. He said his meat was kind of tough. Okay, got to go. Sorry for confession.
I saw a matching doll set, like, you know, G.I. Joe style boxes. One was Uncle, what's his name?
Uncle Bosey.
Uncle Bosey, and one was Cannibal. With face paint and, you know.
Everyone. Everyone, do the Democrats always get off. Everyone. Is Menendez going to walk just like that bastard Mayorkas? Just like Bill and Hillary? Just like Obama and Biden and his cracked up kid? And everyone just like everyone me. God bless.
On that report of the grades and the last names, I may have misheard you, but did you say there was only a 0.3 difference in the two groups? Anyway, as a former teacher, the simple answer for that is most teachers, especially in the younger grades, will seat alphabetically. So who's going to wind up in the back? People with the last names and the WZ and all that. So kids in the front usually make better grades. Pretty simple. Be-doo-be-doo.
Easy. When you described men ejaculating and women's drink were running off like the Hamburglar, I was taking a sip of beer and I ended up spitting it out all over the place. Luckily, I was facing my kitchen sink. Oh, God, that was good.
As far as a guy masturbating and ejaculating into the coffee pot or any other machinery that could be used for consumption, at that very moment, his organs should have been put in the boiling hot coffee or any machine that could destroy his testicles. You can't fix stupid, but you can. You can punish him.
All right. Words of wisdom.
Muffins here. As for the dude blowing loads in the co-worker's coffee for a year before getting caught, he has to have one very consistent diet for her not to notice a difference in the taste. Kudos.
That is an observation that I just didn't see.
No, yeah. That's going.
Maybe he eats a lot of pineapple. I understand that's, you know, kind of like just using a packet of Equal.
Stealing your brain waves. Come on, man. What do you think tinfoil hats are for? Be-doo, be-doo.
Is that recording of that person in New York talking about Trump in Harlem? Was that Shelley Winter? Damn sure sounded like him.
Shelley Winter, a great talk show host in Atlanta, a buddy of mine. black dude. He one day he gets a call from the White House like, hey, you want to come up and meet Trump? He bought it. I think who's the other black broadcaster with he has a weird name for his followers. Larry Elders.
Yeah.
The Eldorados.
The Eldorados.
He was there and he got a bunch of, met him in the Oval, got a bunch of pictures, got a hat signed, and I just saw him with him the other day. So, all right, where are we? And he's
so
in New York.
The whole Heather segment, the relationship seemed to suffer from the same thing. The dude in letter number one needs to be more considerate over his wife's medical issues. It sounds kind of terrible. He shouldn't bully her into getting what he wants. It sounds like he only sees her as an object. Then you got guy number two, or letter number two. This dude has issues with commitment, and it sounds like he's got some shady stuff going on behind the scenes. Both of these women need to get away from these controlling a-holes.
Yeah, I mean, there's no argument there.
Yeah, it really sounds like that traffic reporter there is definitely a cross-gender. I do believe we have a he-she running the airways for radio control.
Okay.
Jesus. Shannon, Jeff in Wichita. Police officers can't just run buck wild 110 down any roadway trying to get to a call. They have to proceed with what's called due regard. If they don't follow traffic rules and they just willy-nilly blow through everything, they can get in a lot of trouble if they're found driving that way without due regard. Have a good one. Good show. BWW.
Due regard.
Hey, Shannon T-Bone from Atlanta. I hope y'all are doing well. It's been a minute since I've talked, so hey, be-do-be-do, guys. But anyways, about those stinking red light cameras. I saw my first one the other day, one of those speeder cameras set up in a neighborhood. And by God, the back of that sumbitch had a camera on it that would get your license plate, and City of Ackworth will be mighty happy to send you a ticket. Man. Anyways, be-do-be-do, boys and girls. Y'all be good. Hmm.
I love Kimmer. He's right about Columbia University being a good sign for change. But then let's remember, it takes pressure. And that's disgusting that it has to go like that, but it so often does. Except for, you know, when it doesn't work? Like that woman with the two kids and that relationship? You can't pressure people. People are what they are. They change because they want to, not because you want them to, even if you withhold booty.
Booty. 100+ protesters arrested at Columbia.
Wow.
Are you feeling good about that when your kid calls in from jail? He's in in the holding cell, and you know you're in Ohio, and hey, Dad, I'm in jail for a pro Hamas.
Yeah, a lot of them are like, "Good job, son. Great job protesting."
I think what they should do with all these protesters that are pro-Hamas is start spraying some red syrupy liquid on them and tell them it's pig's blood.
It wouldn't affect most of them because they're white liberals, so.
Oh, yeah.
Also, didn't I sort of sound like Kimmer had all that testosterone jacked up-ness? Yeah, more of that, right?
Why is he called Flounder and not Grouper? I want to know.
Kimmer gave him that name.
Hey, guys. Happy Thursday. This is Willie B in the Panhandle. A friend of mine reposted a Instagram post of a guy driving through Oakland, California, and it looked like a freaking war zone. Congratulations, Gavin Newsom. This bud's for you. B2B2.
I'm skipping those because he's over his limit. Right?
Yep.
Hey, Shane, I'm trying to remember what station you were on in Austin. I think I was there in, like, 1996. So were you on, like, a FM station 98.9? I'm trying to remember if you were on the same station as Howard Stern was. That was a while back.
I was
curious.
That's exactly what, 98.9 KJFK. So that city's been known for KLBJ FM and AM. And our little slogan was, KJFK, he's a better president. We're a better radio station. Something along those lines. Yeah. Yeah, I was. I came on, I started doing afternoons, and then I got bumped up to right after Stern.
So there's a supplement called Panax ginseng, Korean ginseng, and men have been taking it. It makes you burn body fat and increase your muscle mass, but women started taking it to do the same thing. But in women, there's an interesting side effect. It made them super horny. And so it also, it must do something to your hormones because it also gave them changes to their menstrual cycle. So there's that.
Panax ginseng.
I donated my extra foreskin to an infant who was born without eyelids. He was a little cockeyed.
All right.
So I wonder this about Chinese food. They say Americanized Chinese food is very different from the Chinese food you get in China. However, I've never been to a Chinese restaurant here that didn't have people from China cooking the food. So what's up with that?
Probably not born here.
But also, go during dinner time to a lot of Chinese restaurants, and you'll see the family sitting at a restaurant, an actual sit-down, not a New York-style countertop one, and they'll be eating stuff that they do not have on the menu.
Yeah. Yeah, you've never seen it before. And always, while searching for a Korean restaurant, count the white cars in the parking lot.
I've gone many times where it's an actual sit-down Chinese restaurant, and they'll be, you know, a table next to me, like, all right, give me whatever they have on their table.
Right.
It's not for you, white man.
The 200-year administration, Shannon, the aliens are coming. They're coming for your warring producer.
One of my recent DMs, can I consider you far-reaching love? I feel strong sex and type social energy. Can I consider you? Are you with me?
I don't even know. Those go to a different file. When I go to my DMs and people that I've allowed, you know, that are following me or whatever.
Yeah, it just goes to the spam one.
Yeah, but sometimes I read them and they are absolutely hysterical.
Well, you can't fix stupid, but you sure can neuter it.
All right.
Shut up, Liberal Larry.
Oh my God, Liberal Larry, psychoanalyzing men. Don't you kind of have to be one, maybe? I don't know. I just...
It's just... Yeah. We could build a... you know, like the... Joel Osteen box that sits on the desk. Mm-hmm. You could build a Liberal Larry box like that. And every day it would just give you a typical... liberal, you know, little saying for the day to send you on your way.
Yeah, totally everybody should take relationship advice from Liberal Larry.
Hey, guys. Well, there's an idea for a new segment. Liberal Larry has answers. B-do-b-do.
That would be funny.
How long before Liberal Larry's partner writes in to ask Heather? I cannot wait. Actually, maybe his partner already did. Beady beady.
I mean, you know what side he's going to take every time.
Yeah.
He's going to bash a dude. The poor guy that wants to have sex with his wife.
Well, maybe the women from the wrote in for the Heather Has Answers segment need to find a more sensitive man like Liberal Larry or Lindsey Graham. Beedoo beedoo.
What was that supplement called again that made the girl horny? Beedoo beedoo.
That you get at the 7-Eleven. It's up at the counter. It's called Horny Goat Weed. Right?
I think it was Panax ginseng.
Panax ginseng. Athletes eat. My little brother, when he was running, used to buy raw ginseng at the grocery store, like nasty, hard, raw, and he'd just chew it as he ran. Horrible.
Horrible.
I think I should be congratulated. I did not go after Matt from Laguna at all this week. Oh, Eric, crap. Eric, it's not Friday. Eric, I'm sorry.
We haven't heard Matt from this weekend.
Is there a war on between those two?
Well, I mean, yeah.
A back and forth deal?
That's so mean. That little child should not have flicked off Joe Biden. That's so mean.
Oh, that's annoying.
You guys should take it easy on Liberal Larry. He may just have an abusive husband.
Well, those are the remarks for today's show. Hit the app. You got to have the app. You don't have to necessarily listen on it, but you can call the show, text the show, listen to either this feed or the Panhandle feed, and you can send us an open mic. Hold on, maybe one more.
Hey, let's do once a month on a Friday, the old What's Up With That. That was a good segment. Yeah,
that was a good segment. We did that on the phone, though. We had eight or ten phone lines. They would all be hot, and we just roll through them, you know. Get the app, hit the button, play with us. It'll be a lot of fun. Those are the remarks for today. Did you know, do you clean your toothbrush?
Like how much? I rinse it out and put my cap on it.
Heather?
No, I just replace it.
Dr. Joe Whittington, he said, I'm going to give you one mind-blowing health tip that can not only have a profound impact on your health, it takes 30 seconds a night. And he says, I almost guarantee you're not doing it. He says, every single night after you brush your teeth, you should be washing your toothbrush bristles with soap and water.
No, that's too much.
He said it greatly impact the amount of bacteria and plaque buildup in your mouth. Studies are showing the bacteria in your mouth is linked to your cardiovascular health, including the health of your heart. Plaque could lead to the development of heart failure, atrial fibrillation. Your mouth is home to 700 species of microbes, and there's a link between gum inflammation, gum infection, and tooth damage. Heart disease, with heart disease, and you could, if you just cleaned your toothbrush.
Yeah, it's not affecting enough people. Like, how, you soap and water, are you really going to do that? Because you got to give it a serious rinse out.
Didn't Dr. J die after some dental stuff? Some plaque went loose and clogged his heart up or something?
I mean, it can, but also if you're brushing your teeth every day, you're not going to get a giant buildup of plaque on your toothbrush.
No, but the bacteria that are left on your toothbrush contribute to the plaque in your mouth. That's what they're saying.
Yeah. Well.
I'm going to try it. No, I'm not. Who am I kidding?
I use my Sonicare toothbrush, and then I put my little cap on top of it after I rinse it off.
Yeah, that's the way I roll. And once a week, soak it in hydrogen peroxide or antibacterial mouthwash.
Yeah, this is the reason why we have issues with antibiotics now, because people don't let themselves get a little gingivitis on a toothbrush anymore, or their hydrogen peroxide in their toothbrush every day.
Or maybe he's just trying to sell soap or
some sort of
mouthwash.
This guy's
probably
running some sort of toothbrush soap company now.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. He probably will. It's like the guy that they're sitting around at Johnson & Johnson. They're waiting to sell more shampoo. Like, I've got an idea. He goes, Johnson, what's your idea? After all the instructions, we put on your hand, put on a lather and rinse. Let's just put repeat. And he went, damn it, Johnson, you're a genius.
When will they know to stop, though?
All right, hang on. We'll take our final break here to come back and wrap it up for you. It's the Shannon Berg Show.
Demand Radio.
Retired teacher in Pennsylvania, getting ready to leave the country. He's going to retire elsewhere. Wanted to sell all of his belongings. One of those was his old pickup truck. He parked it on the street, and he put a sign in the window that said "for sale." Well, then he found out. Found a ticket under his windshield. He was cited for selling a truck. You can't put a for sale sign on. You can't use the street to sell your truck, apparently. So he sold the truck because someone saw the sign, and the ticket came, and he said, you know what? I do feel it's a violation of my free speech. It's legal to park my truck on the street, but the minute I put a for sale sign in it, it's a violation. He got convicted. There was a fine. He said, screw it. I'll just pay it. Then he sends the check up. He's packing his things up. he gets another piece of mail from them saying, oh, you paid it a day late. Now you even owe more money. He said, F you guys. He teamed up with a the Institute for Justice last week to take legal action so that you could now. I mean, it really is a free speech issue. What's the difference if your truck's on the street with or without a for sale sign?
I mean, would he have gotten in trouble if he just put like the chalk in the windows?
I think so. The little white shoe polish deal. Yeah. He said, look, at this point, I'm angry. Bad enough they violated my freedom of speech. Now they want more money because they didn't get the check exactly on the date they wanted it. F them. Good for you. That's it for us today. Thank you, EZ.
Thank you.
Thank you, Heather.
Thank you.
Thank you to this audience. EZ is in the big chair tomorrow. Back at 2 Eastern, 1 Central. Following Don Miller. A hysterically funny individual. Who happens to follow Bubba the Love Sponge. A national treasure. Very, very violent. See you tomorrow on the Florida Man Radio Network. I'm Shannon Burke. Have a good night.